Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet don't seem able. We're off the bag in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Always working to serve the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. Okay, if you're in the chat room, yeah, you read it right. $100 million to fix the world, question mark. So we might have a little bit of fun with this, and maybe a little bit of seriousness, and, you know, the normal shenanigans. I'm here with one of my best pals, Barbara, and she's got a stuffy nose. Say hi, Barbara.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, that's where I am today, but I'm still here, still kicking.
I'm not laughing at your misfortune there.
I know. I don't have a clothespin on my nose in case any some, you know, some people on radio, they do that. I don't know why, but...
But, you know, that could be one of the things that we could fix to become a billionaire.
Yes, we talked about that.
So, with that said, folks, don't forget to, if you're in the chat room, there's four separate chat rooms. If you're listening to Shaziz Radio at www.shazizradio.com or whatever network you happen to be tuned in. But if you're in the chat room on the Super Chat, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms, scroll down and click on that link that says People for People Radio, and you go there and find some more good people. Tell them that crazy haired Shaziz and Barbara sent you over there to create a ruckus or something. Mostly just go over and smile. That'd be good enough. Anyway, I got a little podcast that I want to play and maybe mouth off to a little bit, because it talks about 15 problems to solve to become a billionaire. Let me see if I can read that again. 15 problems to solve if you want to be a billionaire. All right, well, so let's get into these 15 problems that they perceive that we could, if we solve these problems, we could become a billionaire. Maybe I'll have to, hold on. I gotta get a song, I gotta get a tune ready. Just give me just a second, because every time I think I got an answer to it, I gotta play this. Tell me if you can hear this, Barbara.
I've got a laptop. I make
music
with my friends. I've got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby.
Got a laptop,
I make music with my friends.
Making music with my friends. Alright. So if the lady talks about something that I think I can resolve, then I'll hit the I got a laptop tune. How's that sound? Yeah? No?
Sounds good.
All right, let's go down the rabbit hole here and see what we got.
This is the Sunday Motivational Video. Every Sunday, we bring you a different type of video, which should improve your life. Today, we're looking at 15 problems to solve if you want to be a billionaire. Welcome to Alux.com, the place where future billionaires come to get inspired. Hello, Aluxers. How have you been this week? It's great to have you here with us once again for a special Sunday video. The goal of this channel is to inspire future billionaires. So what better way to do that than present you guys with some opportunities to achieve billionaire status? There are multiple ways to get there, but we have to warn you, the competition is insane because everybody's racing to get there. While building a search engine or a social network are not viable options anymore, considering these niches are dominated by enormous players, there are still some problems the world has yet to solve, or at least make them mainstream. If you're new here, welcome. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Alux. Solving any of these 15 problems in an efficient and effective way will definitely get you into the 3-comma club. Let's get started. Number 1, a weight loss pill with minimal to no side effects.
A weight loss pill with minimal to no side effects. Can we solve that, Barbara?
I think it's one of the most difficult things because everything has a side effect.
I got a laptop, baby. All right, sorry about that. Oh, I think we can fix this, Barbara. Seriously. It's called a placebo. Little sugar pill you give everybody, and if they believe in this pill, they'll stop eating like a pig and sitting on the couch all day, and they'll lose weight. What do you think?
I think we got some good ideas.
Well, that should be worth $1 billion.
How come it's not coming our way?
I don't know, man. We're
wait, I think people want the easy way.
Yeah, that's what they said. I got to finish playing that pod because she says that people are lazy. Here, let's do this.
As of 2018, the diet and weight loss industry is worth around $80 billion in the U.S. alone and expected to reach a value of $500 billion worldwide in the coming years. The world is changing, and for the first time ever, more people are dying from obesity than from starvation. Most people are lazy and would gladly pay a premium for an easy solution to the weight loss problem. That's why all big pharma companies are spending billions on R&D in order to find a mainstream solution to the problem. A pill like this could quickly become the most profitable and used drugs all around the world. Viagra alone is doing $1.5 billion in revenue per year in the U.S., and a weight loss pill could be valuable for both genders. Number 2.
All right, we're going to hold on for number two there. So what do you think? They said Viagra was doing pretty good. I wonder why, but never mind.
Well, why do you need that stuff to begin with? See, you have to go back further and further, right? I mean, Viagra, what's going on with these men that need Viagra? There's something going on.
Well, yeah, and there's, because I understand from, I keep my ear to the grindstone, so to speak, so I kind of like listening to what people are talking about.
Gotta be careful of that grindstone, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you hear some things that you just didn't want to hear. But the thing about it is, there's a underworld of that kind of deal where people abuse that particular deal for some strange, unknown, foreseen reason.
Underworld. Now you just said something very interesting. Underworld, right?
Yep.
There's underworld things happening. Underworld. Underworld.
I think there's even a black market for that particular pill.
Something behind the scenes.
But I'm pretty sure there's side effects to it. But also, that could be a weight loss pill to some extent. So maybe you should mix the placebo with that, and maybe you have a happier world? I don't know. So.
Will we ever have a happier world?
Well, I think that would probably, as opposed to the weight loss pill, I think a happy pill would probably do it, because then everybody'd be getting outside, because they'd be all happy and everything. Woo, I love everything. I love the world. I love you. And all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's the one they should have been looking for. But either way, they say if you invent a weight loss pill with limited or no side effects, then you'll be a billionaire. So that's one I don't really necessarily think we can solve at this stage in the game, unless we can take all of what nature's already provided. I'm sure that there are plants out there that are appetite suppressants that won't make your kidney turn into stone or fall out. And things that might not make your bladder expand to the extent of, not making it to the facilities in time, so to speak. But if you study nature, you might find that there's probably some natural remedies to actually, be like a weight loss pill. But I think the best remedy is actually get out there and visit nature. Run around the woods and have fun and go fishing and do the things they used to do back in the day when they didn't have internet or Netflix or all these devices. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's distraction.
Yeah, that's it.
Distraction to keep everybody unhealthy.
And that's another key to the whole deal. They said the more people were dying from obesity than starvation. Something really wrong with that.
Oh, there's statistics. They do these studies. There's another way we can make $1 million is do a study, get funding for a study. A study on whatever. We could pick something, and do a study on it. Propose a study, get funding from some big corporation. Because it will bring them a lot of money, this study. Bring us a lot of money, this study. So obesity has been studied. And which country has issues or problems or the get the highest statistics of obesity, you know, in the world. You know, they do those studies, but then they don't give any solutions. They just give this study, make a lot of money on it.
So, let me get this straight. If I do a study of the heftily challenged people and somebody would pay me for my research...
Oh, are you being politically correct?
Well,
excuse me.
I don't want to, like...
We should do a study on that.
Yeah.
Let's get money doing... I'm doing a study. I'm politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, if I go up to the Heftily Challenge and I watch them and observe while they're eating a donut, they might get mad. And so I'll probably be able also at the same time multitask and do a study on how not to get beat up.
Well, that's another study, another million for us. So we have to put aside a list of various studies we could do on the human condition.
Yeah.
You know?
I could tell that poor heftily challenged individual, you know, if you don't eat that particular donut, they have some over there that they call rice cakes. They don't necessarily taste as good, but, you know, they won't make you heftily challenged.
I like rice cakes.
Rice cakes are terrible. It's like eating styrofoam.
Well, you have to put peanut butter on them or something.
Well, wouldn't it be easier just to get a peanut butter cookie?
Well, there's a little more fatty in there that, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, I don't know, then just don't put peanut butter on it. Just eat the rice cake and just have your mouth filled with, like, styrofoam and complain a lot, but you're losing weight.
Yeah. Hey, rice cake pills.
There you go.
There we go. We solved it. Hold on, I gotta play the tune. Alright.
I've got a laptop.
I
make music with my friends.
It's got a laptop. Ooh, it's got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
Okay, folks, we're losing it today. Right. We're losing it, but we're smart.
All right, let's
because we're smart, smarty pants.
All right, so we invented rice cake pills for weight loss. So there you go. You eat enough of those, and you will lose weight. Now we're going on to the problems.
But then you're going to have problems because those things inflate when you drink water, and then you're going to have other problems. So we'll do another study on how to deal with that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you reminded me something. My mom doctored me when I was a kid. I had a bellyache from eating too much. And so she's going to help me out, and she gave me some Alka-Seltzer water, big, tall glass of Alka-Seltzer water. She said, now drink this down. This will make you feel better. Well, I already had...
Oh, no. Mom did that to you?
Yeah. I already had a gut ache from eating too much, and so she's mom. She ain't going to try to hurt me or nothing, so I drank that down. Boy, my gut ache was twice as bad.
I'd say. No place for it to go.
Oh, I'm dying here. All right, let's see. She's on problem number two. Let's see what problem number two is going to make us a billionaire.
Viable plastic replacements. Yeah, we are ruining our planet and don't know what to do about it because we really don't want to change. That's where you come in. The plastic market as a whole is worth $650 billion at the moment, with the plastic packaging industry expected to hit $350 billion by 2020. As you've seen in countless videos of turtles and fish caught up in plastic, the world needs a viable alternative that is as practical, as cheap to produce, of which we...
Hi guys, pause it right there. We're talking about doggone, she's wanting to, invent a new type of plastic that'll be, environmentally friendly. Here's an idea. Recycle would be a good... start to that problem right there. You got tons and tons of plastic. There's people over in the UK, I think, is basically turning plastic into what they call petrol, you know, basically turning it back into fuel. I mean, the doggone stuff is made out of petroleum products, which is a portion of the crude oil, so it ain't like we're ever going to run out of plastics, and so you might as well start being a little bit more responsible with it. So, with that said, let's listen to what else you got to say.
Well, wait, I gotta add my take on this.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
don't forget, I'm here, so your sidekick, what kind of a word is that? I said to you, you know, I'm diverting here. I said to you, do you want a sidekick? And I thought, what kind of a word is that? Do you want a sidekick? And you said, yeah, sure. But that's bizarre. Anyway, here's the thing on the plastic. Some company, and I don't know which it is right off the top of my head, maybe some of our listeners out there, wherever they be, have found this too. A company just recently created an edible plastic for the animals in the sea. So they put this plastic around their whatever they're selling, and the plastic is edible, and so it's edible plastic for the animals. I don't know what's in that edible plastic. I have no idea. I'm just saying.
Well, a long time ago, they used to make, like, you know, things like you could actually make a glass out of sugar, melted sugar, you know? I don't know if you've ever seen that. Remember, like, rock candy kind
of
stuff?
I do. But I'm thinking of this edible plastic now. If you make an edible plastic, then these animals are ingesting it. And then what is in that? And now we have to do a study. We can propose a study, okay, of how this edible plastic affects the animals. And we could get $1 million for that. So we're doing pretty good here. You add that to the list.
Yeah, and if we throw Viagra into that plastic, we can get those...
No. I don't know. Well, maybe we could end, you know, the extinction level if we throw Viagra in there.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, but it'd probably backfire and there'd be another underworld market opening up. Yeah, drink this soda and eat the plastic. What? No.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. There's a plastic pill, Viagra plastic pill that you can eat, and it will solve all the woes in the world.
Let's see, rice cake flavored plastic.
Plastic Viagra pills.
Yeah, see, I just, look, this is the best thing that people could actually do is just type, you know, instead of throwing the stuff on the ground or in the landfills, recycle it. Reuse it. You know, it's still a resource. It's a massive free resource if you're willing to go out and pick it up. That's why I don't understand why there aren't recycling companies out there that will say, hey, bring us all your plastic, man, if you don't want it. And if you're worried about the environment, and I'd play on that, too, if I was the plastic billionaire, and I don't wanted to, you know, get everybody to bring me their plastic instead of throwing it away. I'd tell them about all the good uses of it, and I'd make them feel bad, say, look, man, you got one of those doggone beer things around that penguin's neck. I saw that in the movie the other day. And the poor penguin, he couldn't breathe half because, you know, the penguin was, like, heftily challenged, and so that was getting tighter and tighter around his neck. And so, you know, they finally got it off. That was good. The penguin didn't perish. So, yeah, but either way, I would like to tell everybody I'd have a big old ad campaign that says, you know, save the environment, bring me your plastic, and I would become a multi-millionaire off of everyone else's trash. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think the world is in trouble.
Yeah, we're doomed.
I think we're doomed.
All right, well, we're not getting no... $1 million off of that one, so let me see. That was a blooper, so I got to play this sound. All right, there we go. So now we're sorted out.
Okay, let's hold on now.
That was one.
Hold on now. Yeah. You just got me thinking. What you just did, that sound. We need to propose a study about that sound.
Yeah.
If that sound actually works, how it affects the human population.
Well, you know, it lets somebody know there's a problem. And a...
Problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah. But...
There you go.
I like the prior sound right here.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
Hey, you gotta sing the he's got a laptop part. I can't do both.
Well, we need to do a study on that.
Yeah.
Why can't people do both?
Oh, no.
It's called multitasking.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna try, and I even got the dance thing going on when that's playing. So
I can visualize that.
So let's see what else she says about plastic real quick. We're still on number two, folks. If you're listening in, you're listening to Knights of the Round Table, and we're listening to 15 problems to solve if you want to be a billionaire. And the reason why I got to have these 15 problems to solve, so if I know what they expect to need to be fixed, all I got to do is solve one of these 15, and I can get the measly $100 million to fix the world. So, you know, I don't have to, you know, basically start a GoFundMe account or anything like that. All I got to do is, first off, what was the first one we solved? A weight loss pill. We're going to make rice cake pills. That way you'll lose weight when you eat the rice cake pills. And then you said if you drink a glass of water, it fills your belly, so you're not hungry, right?
Right, but then we have to do a study on the results of that, because there's problem, reaction, solution, and that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
They create a problem, and they watch the reaction, and then they give you the solution.
Yep, and they said there were more people dying of obesity than starvation. You know, I would say give the heftily challenged individual the rice cake pills, and give the donut to the less fortunate like myself. I only weigh 150 pounds. I need to gain some weight, right?
Well, so then there's the study of the human inflation, physical inflation. You know, when you stuff yourself with those inflators, you know, then...
Yeah.
Then there's another study. There's so many studies because there's so many, you know, problems. And then the reactions give us the solutions where we can make money.
Yeah, well, you know, I
feel rich. I feel so rich right now.
Yeah, we've got it. We're on our way to becoming billionaires, Barb.
I think we figured out the system. Yeah. How they doing it? How they making all that money?
Yeah, that's it. All we got to do is solve one of these 15 problems, do a study about it. Well, not only do we sell the invention, but we sell the study to other companies that want to try to market, you know, the idea, the solution, or whatever. Well, at least what we found out. All right, let's listen to what else that she got to say about plastic.
We have large quantities of, preferably regenerable, and which doesn't kill all life on Earth in the long run. Everybody understands the potential of being the next plastic, and we've already been seeing tests with fungus, algae...
Did you just hear that, Barbara?
Something about algae.
They want to make plastic out of fungus or algae.
They wanna.
Yeah, so you're going to have a genetically modified soda bottle that could basically start growing on your face while you're trying to drink your bottle. That sounds not safe. I've seen the movies, you know. That's where things go awry when they start messing with nature. All right, let's see.
I'll say.
Let's see what else they got.
Corn and even hemp. The only thing they need to do now is to get the price down and to be able to mass produce. Before we move on to the next problem, do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
It's estimated that more than 500 million single-use plastic straws are used and thrown away every day in the U.S. alone, according to the National Park Service. That translates to 175 billion straws a year. The numbers globally are even more, at least five times that. Just think about it. You get a drink with a plastic straw, which you use for under 15 minutes, and then you throw it away. And a large portion of these straws are not recycled.
Man. 100 billion? I think that's what you said. 100 billion straws?
Imagine that.
Well,
why do we need straws anyway? Why don't we do a study on that?
Yeah, we should do...
Life without straws.
Life without straws. I know one good reason to have straws, because if you go to, like, McDonald's or Burger King or any one of those fast food deals and you don't have a straw, when you go to try to sip through that little hole in the lid pops off and you get a bath of soda or whatever.
Well, we need to do another study on why that happened.
Yeah. Well, I think think it has something to do with the construction of the actual cup itself, because they're
the
like
plastic, the plastic cup and the plastic top.
Yeah, well, most of the time they're either wax paper cups, or they're plastic cups, or they're styrofoam cups. Now, all of them have flaws in them, so if we actually redesigned the cup, you could get by without the straw. You could actually make it like a sippy cup, you know, like the little kids use, so they don't spill the milk on the floor.
Yeah,
so
sippy cups for adults. Why don't we do a study on that?
There you go. So is that a win or is that a fail?
Well, I think we'd have to do a study on how it's accepted by adults, a sippy cup, because it might kind of like put them in a state of confusion or also depression, or I mean, there's going to be some kind of a mental state. When you say to adults, okay, everybody's now drinking from sippy cups.
Yeah, because
no,
because you keep throwing your straws in the national parks. We can't have your straws are banned. Sippy cups for all. Woohoo!
Well, we could do an edible straw. We could create an edible straw.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good possibility. I like the sippy cup better though.
Yeah, because that looks like we could also make them in different colors, and that way...
Because, I mean, the message of the sippy cup is, hey, you people, you are just a bunch of little kids throwing your trash on the land.
Yeah.
So you have to now you have to drink out of sippy cups. You've had your chance.
That's right.
You've had years and years and years, and we've been watching you.
So
you failed.
So that's
sippy
right.
Sippy cups.
All right, I think I'm going to call that one a win, so here we go.
Okay.
I got a laptop.
I
make music with my
friends.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop.
All right, so we're moving right along. We're going.
Are we having fun yet?
Yeah. I think I've danced more in the first portion of this show than I have all my life. They got a good laptop. I wish I should have had the doggone live stream going so you could see old Crazy Harris's dancing to the laptop theme. All right, so here we go. Number four, I believe we're on.
Number three, bioprinting and organ printing. There are several...
Uh-oh, bioprinting and organ printing. They're going to 3D print you a kidney, a lung, a liver, and they're going to get rid of the black market for selling kidneys, lungs, and livers. Listen to this. This is sort of disturbing.
Sub-industries to this, which will be worth billions of dollars each as the technology advances. Starting with personalized prosthetics, to 3D printed skin for burn victims, bone printing, to actually printing working organs. Globally, the organ transplant market is worth around $20 billion per year, which is expected to become a trillion-dollar industry in the next few decades. Just the organ preservation market alone is valued at $250 billion right now, so the potential in this space is massive. As the population of the world increases, and on average, we tend to get richer, replacing an organ will become as common as eye surgery or dental implants. To put things into perspective, you can purchase a heart on the black market in the U.S. for a little bit under $1 million with a...
Did you hear that, Barbara?
Wow.
Purchase a heart on the black market.
I know.
For $100,000.
Well, the big problem is...
Oops.
The big problem, the study that needs to be done on this, okay, is where are those, the source of those hearts?
That's
on the black
a
market.
Good question.
Yay, that's a scary thing. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. But it's not just hearts, it's like all kinds of organs. I think you can, you know, it's like, what do they call it? It's not, it's dealing in body parts or something like that now, right? It's a big business.
Or organ harvesting. And
oh, there you go, organ harvesting.
And so they're probably, you know, there's people that keep disappearing all the time are probably victims of that portion of the black market that wants to sell somebody else your kidney.
Well, you know, we've been told in whatever, all kinds of reports on people missing and disappearing, and then we, in another thread or news report, it will talk about organs on the black market, but nobody kind of puts those two together. No, I mean, you know, nobody's like equating this missing persons.
All right. Sorry, I had to do that because...
We have to do a study on that, the effects of that sound.
Yeah. Well, I think we just figured out what's going on. So you follow the money and you might just find the kidney, so to speak. And if it's not attached to the person it belongs to, there needs to be litigation. Man.
Well, there needs to be those wacky alarms going off all over the place.
Yeah, so that every time you go to somewhere and there's something that just don't, it's just not right. Like you go to let's say hypothetically, you're walking down doggone food section of your local grocery store and you see something that says GMO on the side of it. Then as soon as you see that... And everybody rushes in, what's up? It says GMO, that means we're all going to be turning into three-eyed lizards and stuff.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. So every grocery store, this is a good study, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is to help, but this is to help society, this is to help humanity, you know, because they don't bother to look at the labels, they just stuff this stuff in their carts, pay for it, and stuff it in their bodies,
yeah.
And they don't even know. So if we figure out the system we create, that we're going to make a lot of money on this, to help the uninformed, right?
That's it. We'll hit them with the alert sign, and then we'll hit them with the good news that we have a solution.
Put the can back on the shelf.
Yeah. Read the labels, folks. Always read the labels. And whenever you download software on the internet, read the fine print.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, there you go. All types of documents that you're going to sign. So we have another one, alert, alarm, for if there's hidden information in the fine print that you're not looking at, an alarm will go off.
Yeah.
So that you will be informed.
Oh, hold on, I forgot the alarm. Okay, you just read the fine print. Warning! You just told them that you want them to follow you around the internet and spy on you. You said that they could use your microphone and your camera. Did you read that? No.
You just signed your life away and all your worldly goods.
That's right. All right, let's hear some more about the black market kidney thing here.
A liver being sold for around $500,000.
The
fact that there is a black market for organs at all proves there isn't sufficient supply for the existing demand. Studies show that 1 in 3 deaths could be delayed or prevented if we were to have access to enough spare organs. Number 4.
Wait,
this is so weird. What? This is... Wow, this is creepy.
Yeah. You gotta have to go to a doggone warehouse where they store, like, clones of you to get a fresh liver. There was actually a movie about that.
Oh, I'm sure there's a movie about it.
Yeah.
The movies tell us what is actually happening. And that's another thing. Here we go. An alarm should go off when you're sitting in a movie or sitting in your house watching a movie and the truth is hidden right there in front of you. And you're not getting it.
Yeah.
But an alarm should go off.
So you're watching the clone, and all of a sudden they're talking about you can get a fresh liver from this clone. My question is now, since the warning bell went off, where did they get the DNA to make a clone of me?
Well, now I'm just listening to all these alarms going off, and you know what? I'm realizing there's so many things that are screwed up and messed up in the world that all we're going to be hearing throughout our lifetime for centuries is these wacky horns going off. These alarms.
Yeah! All day long, every day.
And people will be coming up. Here's another one. Okay, we're making money here, so listen to this solution.
All
right. We're going to have a solution on when the masses start screaming about and tearing their hair out because of these alarms constantly going off. Yep. We have a way to lift them off of this planet, so free of the alarm, free of the alarm bells.
So
how about that?
We'll build transports to get them off the planet so they don't have to listen to the alarm bells.
There you go.
All right, it's time.
Problem, reaction, solution. We got it.
Did I jump too soon?
It's all right.
All right, here we go.
I've got a laptop.
Got a laptop.
I make music with my friends.
I've got a laptop. Ooh, my laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
I've got a laptop.
There it is.
You got a laptop. All right. So there we go. We got it. We're going to save you from the alarms. We're going to take you off the planet. Hopefully the one we go to next won't be covered up with plastic and organ harvesting gangs. And I just can't get past that. That's just, who does that?
Who does that? Well, we could do a study on that.
Yeah, we'll have to do
a study. We can make a lot of money. Okay, let's do a study on who does this.
All right, who does the organ harvesting? So that must be a strange type of individual, and do they have mental issues? Have they ever been on Ritalin, Prozac, or Luvox? That's another study.
Have they ever been in jail before?
Yeah, we got a lot of studies.
We sure do. We're raking up the money here. Raking up the money.
We're on a problem number four if you want to be a billionaire.
Water scarcity. As of 2016, 1 in 9 people in the world live without access to clean water. That's close to 850 million.
All right, I got to jump the gun on this one because I already got a solution for water, you know. So let me see. Hold on.
I've got a laptop.
I
make music with my friends.
I've got a laptop, baby.
I make music with my friends.
Look, Dad Burnett, I've been shouting about this on the Mad Science Show for a long time. The Earth is 3/4 covered in water. We have the science and the technology to rejuvenate and refresh water, putting it back into its natural state. We don't have to have people dying of thirst. That's not something that's hard to solve. We can solve that right now. That 100 million...
Did she start off saying scarcity of water?
Yeah, scarcity.
Oh my gosh.
What part of planet Earth is she standing on? She must be right in the dead center of the Sahara Desert, where it's like all sand and everything.
Well, somewhere, everywhere, there's water beneath the Earth, wherever, in the atmosphere. Well, in her world, there's scarcity of water, but you know why? She needs to push that out to people because she basically is creating, you know, a problem, and then she's going to watch the reaction, which is, oh my God, we have no water, water's scarce, we're going to die, and then she'll know, okay, now I have a solution. That's the money making right there.
Yeah, that's it. You know, since the atmosphere has oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, all the available components are right there in the air that you breathe. You know, so there's this thing they call a dehumidifier that takes two temperature differences and causes condensation. You know, you heat one up, you cool the other down, and it will actually take the air out, the moisture out of the air, and you can get water anywhere on this planet with a dehumidifier. There you go. And you make that thing out of stainless steel so you keep it clean and you don't have dust particles or, you know, germs in it or whatever. And you got pure distilled water pulled right out of the air. So, I don't know. Let's see what else you got to say about water, because this is mind-blowing. There's that word again.
People. Towards the end of 2018, scientists are expecting that number to get close to 1.1 billion. By 2025, it's expected that 2/3 of the world's population will find it difficult to have access to clean water. You wouldn't think that the blue planet is running out of water, but the thing is, it's not the planet, it's us that are running out of water. Despite the planet being covered by 70% water, only 3% of it is actually fresh water that is fit for human consumption. Around 2/3 of that is tucked in frozen glaciers and unavailable to our use. So it's us that's in big trouble. This year, even big cities like Cape Town almost ran out of water, and situations like this one will be more and more popular in the coming years. So you might soon get rations of water no matter where you live.
Hold on. It has to be done. It has to be done. Rations of water. Anytime they say rations of water, that's an alert, man. As far as I'm concerned, rations of water. Are you serious? You go to Quick Trip, 7-Eleven, Walmart, Kmart, whatever mart, and any convenience store, and you can buy a bottle of water for $1, maybe $2, depending on where you go and how greedy they are. All right, so you're going to go buy some fresh water. So they've already got you marketed because they've already told you that your water wasn't fit to drink. So why would they put like chlorine and fluoride in the city drinking water, other than the fact that if you learn that there's chlorine and fluoride in the city water and you don't want to buy, you know, you don't want to drink the chlorine or fluoride in the city water, then this company comes along and says, well, here, drink our fresh water. It's straight from the stream of Nebraska. Really?
Or it's straight from the faucet in New Jersey. Remember that one? I mean, that's real, folks.
I know, and I'm glad you said that.
Oh, my, that's real. Remember that? Yeah. To do. Oh, my gosh. Well, as a headline a long time ago, a headline of one of the most famous or popular bottled waters on the market, claiming they're from some ancient stream up in the mountains of the Alps, and no, it was a faucet in New Jersey.
That's it. Probably
that was real.
Probably lead pipes too, man.
Oh, but people still buy the bottled water, you know, because they think it's clean water, and you know. But I'm going to say this, you know. So I don't know if you know, but many years ago, you know, we were hearing about this prophecy. The elders were saying someday you will have to pay for water.
Well, we are paying for water.
And we are now, but you know what? Those elders should have got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they called it. They are on top of that. So all these prophecies, the ones, the elders, they should have got a lot of money because they called it.
There's a Texas oil millionaire called T. Boone Pickens, I think is the name. And basically he moved his assets out of oil and into water. They called it the blue gold. The next gold rush was water. So if you can sell bottles of water for $1 or $2 a bottle, it depends on, like, if you go to like a football game or something like that, they always jack the price of everything up at a baseball or a football game. You might pay $5 for a bottle of water at a baseball game, you know, or a football game, which is ridiculous.
Well, the water wars, you know, that was another prophecy of there will, you know, people will be fighting over the water. But you say, there's water everywhere, water, you know, not a drop to drink. You know, where'd that come from? But, so yeah, water wars, paying for water, you know, scarcity of water, you know, all these things, all the stuff that people are just going, oh, wow, that's too bad, or, oh, well, I guess we have to buy bottled water. Okay, I guess we're going to be fighting over water. Okay, you know, let's just accept. Accept. There is a problem. There's the reaction. The reaction is, oh, wow. And then the solution, oh, look, we're going to be okay.
Well,
they got a bottle of water now, you know. An organ. If I need an organ, it's going to be available for me. I don't care where it comes from. I'm not going to be interested in where it comes from or think this is strange.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
That's weird. I mean, like, they could have stole that kidney or something, you know.
Oh, you think? I don't know.
Well, you know, when it comes
down... Well, no, people wouldn't do that. No, no. Shit, come on now. Shit, yeah. You're over the top.
Yeah, I know. But when...
you really think people are going to be stealing organs out there? No,
they wouldn't do that.
No.
There's no such thing as the black market or the dark web, man.
Wait, Oh, wait, you mean there's no such thing as a dark web or the black market or even a deep state?
No, because that's all conspiracy.
Now I'm confused.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'll just go back to the couch.
Yeah, me too.
It's too confusing. It's too much for me. I can't deal. Well, I can't deal with it.
When the water wars start up, I'm moving to Dubai because they have ingenuity over there. And they've made huge desalination plants, and so they haven't have any problem with water. And actually, when they need more land, they just build it. That's pretty creative.
Well, China's doing the same thing, building those islands out in the ocean and whatever. But wait, you know, this thing about desalination of the waters, you know, it's like, I don't know, recently I just read where they're taking some kind of sludge and runoff from whatever, and they're going to bring it into the drinking water, you know, through the whatever is that they put it through into people's houses. That will be your drinking water.
Well, and that's another thing, too, is that there was a study that they did a long time ago said that in these cities, the big cities, and that's why one reason why I really don't want to live in a big city, because I don't like to drink other people's recycled vitamins and medicines and
you know,
Prozac or Viagra's. Yeah,
because, you don't want to do that?
Oh!
What's wrong with you, man?
Well, because I'd be confused. If I had, like, let's say I take me a drink of water and there was, like, Viagra in there and maybe some five-hour energy drinks or, you know, some sort of vitamins that...
antibiotics.
Yeah. So, part of
the... anti-this and anti-that.
Yeah. Part of me'd want to take a nap. The other part of me would want to party, you know, and I'd be like,
go for a nice little love fest somewhere.
Yeah. So when it comes down to drinking, you know, recycled water that nature hasn't cleaned up first, I would say this is what.
Yeah. I have another study. Okay, so listen, all these houses and all these apartment dwellings and all the cities and everything, every time somebody goes to put the faucet on for a glass of water, you have one of those, the alarm's going off.
Yeah, as soon as you get it.
Hey, wake up, people. You do not want to drink this water.
Turn the knob. Turn the knob to get your glass of water. All right, and then you...
that will work well for our other plan that we talked about of lifting people off the planet because the alarms are driving us crazy.
So, basically...
Are we live on radio?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, I hope you're sticking with us because Chazaz and I think we've been drinking the water.
Yeah, we have. It's that got all those good vitamins in there and energy drinks. Well, see, here's the thing. Once they turn the water faucet on and that sound plays, you and I will teleport in and we'll warn them about there's things in that water that you wouldn't want to drink. My mother wouldn't put none of that in her children's mouths.
Oh, wait, I can see it now. We'll fly around with these kind of like... Remember those movies years ago where they had this bat, this pack, this...
Jetpack.
Jetpack.
Yeah.
We could fly around with those jetpacks. And by the way, they brought those jetpacks back, and they're working pretty good.
Cool.
we could fly around in those jetpacks, and we could be the, you know, the water police, right?
Yeah.
And we could have this decree... And we open up, you know, unroll that decree. Hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah, there's chlorine, fluoride, Viagra, pesticides,
antibiotics.
And
don't drink the water. Oh my. I think I need to take a deep breath.
Yeah, we got this solved. Let's see what else you say.
How many more do we have to go with this?
I don't know. We're only on four.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. How much money is this person making? I want to know.
Well, she says that if you solve any of these 15 problems, you can become a billionaire. So let's finish
off. We need to contact her and tell her we solved numerous ones here.
Yeah, there was only one we couldn't figure out, so we had a warning light on that one. Okay, so let's see what else she says here.
The economical impact of the water crisis is huge. Not only people can't grow crops, but they die of a plethora of illnesses associated with unclean water. Providing access to water will be like connecting yourself to a network for internet access, and we'll start paying a premium on it. Some of the solutions to water scarcity have to deal with the masses. For example, technology, which will allow us to optimize the water consumption per household so people don't waste water.
Hold on. All right, folks, I need you to pay close attention because this is a serious alert. I'm serious
this
about
it. Okay, so this is telling us what's coming. So while you're in the shower, enjoying yourself, or in your tubby, or ready to take that big glass of ice-cold water, guess what? It's going to happen.
The water police
are going to show up.
Yeah.
Knocking, breaking down your door, ripping that glass of water out of your hand, dragging you out of the shower in the midst of your glorious day.
Yep, and in your birthday suit. So, so look, here's the thing. You got smart meters on your doggone house now for electricity, all right? So now there's going to be a smart meter on your shower. So, like, you get in there, you know, you just get the shower all warm just the way you want it to. You know, to do your temperature and stuff. You get all sudsed up, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off and says, you use too much water. You're 33rd of a second right past your allotted 30-second shower. Now, how are you going to get a shower in 30 seconds? So now you got to get out of the shower with soap suds stuck to your hair, and they all drying up in the heat and sticking to your face, and you feel all flaky because you couldn't even get your quick 30-second shower. So now you're going to have people running around drying up with soap and stinking because most people ain't going to want to try to rush in for a 30-second shower and rush out. Step in, step out, you're done. What? Man.
That's where it's going.
Yeah, so you got...
Rationing. She's talking about that, right?
Yeah. You're gonna go
rationing the water uses, and there you go. So
you remember them little tiny Dixie cups that you usually use for like
try to take a shower in that.
Rinse your mouth out with that Dixie cup, and then that's all the water you get on your ration per trip to the. You know how many times it's like people gonna be standing around the water cooler? That little tiny cup, man. Look, that's ridiculous. There is a solution to the water issue. First off, don't dump crud in your water because you may end up having to drink it again. So, maybe you work in harmony with nature and you refresh your water and help nature keep it clean, and then you ain't got that issue, and then somebody ain't selling you your little ration of water for, you know, right now it's $1 a bottle. Let's just say $1 a bottle is probably more than that nowadays, but even that, $1 a bottle now, all right, with the price of inflation.
If they put some color in it, if they put some color and flavoring in it, the price goes up.
Yeah. So now if it's fruity water, you're paying the premium of the premium. But, you know, if inflation stands to reason, the way it has been going for, I can remember a day when you can get a glass of water, you go to any restaurant and you ask them for a cup of water and they would give it to you for free. And that's including the cup. And they were happy about it. They weren't mad because you asked for a cup of water. Now you go there, they want you to at very least pay for the cup and maybe, you know, the price of a drink just to get a deal of water. So in the future, you're probably looking at $5-$10 for a little, you know, a little Dixie cup full of water, you know, because that's your ration. And if you want the extra flavor in there, that's going to be another $5 or $10. That's ridiculous.
I have an idea.
Yeah?
It's a solution.
All right.
Maybe we could make a lot of money. Why don't we reintroduce outhouses?
That's an idea.
Because, you know, there's no water involved, you know.
Yeah.
All the stuff goes back to the earth, and right, then you're not wasting water.
All right, well,
and then you're not recycling the poo water that goes down the toilet and into the pipes and down to the wherever, the sewers and out into the system, out into the machine, the factory that recycles that, cleans it up, brushes it up, purifies it, whatever, and sends it back to you.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to call that a win for you.
Okay.
I got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
And you know something? This is really a good show.
Because
I hope the people out there are also putting their thinking caps on and coming up with solutions just like we are.
That's right, because you too can be part of the billionaire travel journey there, because if you come up with an idea and a solution to fix that, not only will we play your laptop scene for you, and we'll even throw the warning buzzer up in case something goes awry. You know, we want to make sure everybody's informed and well, safe, and all that kind of stuff. So
you'll be brilliant. You'll be brilliant, just like you and I.
And all we have to do is come up with $100 million to fix the world. $100 million.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, and she's talking about becoming a billionaire. So $100 million out of your $1 billion, that's a small price to pay for the future of all mankind, I think.
But I will say that if anybody's out there and, you know, listening to us and they're turning us off or deleting us, which I don't blame them, you know, and then they're going back to their little iPhone cell. What are they called today? I don't know. They were iPhone cell phones.
Devices.
Devices. Any of those devices that you're glued to today, if you go back, that you're not going to be able to develop your thinking brain like Shaziz and I.
That's right.
You're just not going to be able to go into the in-depth places to come up with these solutions to make money.
And you might have the multi-billion dollar idea in your mind.
Somewhere.
That's it. It's
somewhere. Deep inside. But you have to get into the zone. You have to get into the flow like Shaziz and I. We are in the flow.
Yep.
We're in the thinking flow. We are using the intelligence that Creator gave us.
That's right. And we got a safety device for emergencies to warn you when you shouldn't drink the water. So let's see what else you got to say here.
Followed by improving the sewage systems so the water can
You said that. You said it. Improve the sewage system.
See how brilliant I am.
All right, hold on. We got to play your tune again.
I've got a laptop. I make music with my friends.
So you have at least $1 billion now, Barbara.
Okay, now I'm going to sign off. I made my billion. I'll talk to you later.
What? You're going to leave me hanging here all by myself? All right. Let me see what else.
So they're deployed to nearby farms, which are one of the biggest water wasters in the world.
Hold on. Farms are water wasters. Is that worth a buzzer?
I think they are water wasters big time.
All right.
Right. But there's also other things. They're water wasters and pesticide polluters.
Uh-oh. All right, so if you are a farmer out there, you also got to pay attention and get your act together. Don't be polluting your water. Don't be pesticiding the water. Don't be pesticiding the crops. Because if you kill off all your customers, it stands to reason you might make less money, right? Yeah.
Something to think about there.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I've always wondered about the depopulation the world thing. If they depopulate the world, wouldn't they make less money?
Now, wait a second. You don't really believe that conspiracy stuff, do you?
Well, I don't know. I've seen some pretty crazy stuff. There was a guy complaining about Nancy Pelosi having $100 million, you know, being worth $100 million, and somebody in the crowd says, "Well, what's your net worth, Nancy?" And she wouldn't answer it, and she got frustrated about it because, you know, don't ask me about $100 million. I'm trying to talk about the, you know, the average working family that suffers and tries to get food and medicine and, well...
Well, but she's also blaming Trump for everything.
Yeah, but couldn't she take that $100 million and fix the world?
Wait, there's all those Congress and Senate, the money they make. They could do that. They could take a cut in their salary. They could pay. They could help those people who are now not getting paid because of the government shutdown.
Well,
which, by the way, is going the longest it's ever gone.
Yep. They could redonate the funds that they would have got paid from the government back to the government, which is the people's money anyway. Because we all know that they're taking money from special interest groups and getting job offers for whenever they do get out of Congress. And we know that there's a reason why a millionaire is still a senator or congressman after 30 or 40 years. Because it's profitable.
Hey, they got it made.
Yeah.
They got it made.
So when you go to Congress and then you try to tell everybody that you're broke. You, my friend, are dishonest. Because ain't nobody
comes out of Senate and Congress.
Yeah.
That's conspiracy stuff.
But when's the last time you seen a poor man walk out of the House of Congress?
Never.
Never. When's the last time
I've seen them on the steps outside screaming and tearing their hair out?
Yeah. When's the last time you seen a poor man get elected to Congress?
Never.
Never. That's it. They wouldn't hire me because I would say, look, y'all crazy. That's what you're That's it.
Well, then that alarm would go off as soon as you stand up there in that Congress and Senate House or whatever it is there. Where all those people come to stand and talk about stuff.
Yeah, this is how it'd play out. They would call me for my 5 minutes. You get like allotted 5 minutes to speak, and so as soon as I get up there, the first words out of my mouth is, "Y'all crazy."
Suddenly, that's a good way of getting the room clear. They'd all run away.
Suddenly,
and you could invite all your friends in, and we'd all settle everything and figure it all out together.
No, I'm being drugged backwards. I'm being drugged backwards by the men in black and the guys in suit. We have a nonconformist here. We have a nonconformist. Alert. Wait,
that's the deep state.
Yeah. They'll be dragging me up out of the House of Congress saying, you can't say stuff like that here. That's politically incorrect. It's rude and it hurts my feelings.
Oh, but wait. Now there is politically incorrect, way bad stuff being spoken in that Senate House, whatever, on the floor. This woman, I don't remember her name, she was just invited in or voted in or whatever, the Democrat woman there who said,
yeah,
some very
Ocasio,
it was another woman. Well, she, her, yeah, but there's a couple of them in there, but there's another one that said, we're gonna impeach that.
I heard that one too.
And That was right in your stately manner of the United States Senate and House and Congress, yeah. Right there on the floor,
and
spoken
nobody,
right out loud.
Nobody.
And Pelosi said she's not siding with that.
Yeah.
She's not going to stand over there in that corner.
Nobody played the alarm buzzer on that one right there.
No, that should have been a double whammy, in my estimation.
Yeah, so...
But the people loved it because it's all about Trump.
But the thing about it is, Barbara, it wasn't one of us, normal average Joes with a medium to zero income. It was somebody who had a fat wad of cash in her pocket and or a fat wad of cash backing their rhetoric.
Oh, she has the right. She has the right then. But, you know, she did apologize. I love these people who speak out in the worst kind of foul way, and then they go, "Oh, I apologize for saying that."
Mm-hmm.
It's already done.
And that's why on the other side of the fence, they take guys like, whether you think Alex Jones was a good guy or not, he got booted off the internet, so to speak. You know, he's still out there somewhere, but you know, you can kind of
still on the planet. You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So far, I think let's say a harvest team or something. I don't know.
Well, you have a lot of insiders of not so nice stuff, you know. Waters was one of them. Where is she now? I don't know. And others, who say, you know, when they're down, we kick them. And wasn't that attorney general there? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
And Maxine talking to people, screaming her head off about, you know, going to restaurants or houses of people, of the Republicans, and you know, I don't know, spitting on them and inciting stuff. And then you have these people who are, you know, talking on the truth of things and exposing stuff, and then they're deleted or banned or censored. Something's wrong.
Well, yeah, because the whole deal is they're the ones that supposedly the social justice warriors of Congress and the Senate, and they're out there trying to talk about being politically correct. Don't talk about a man who wears a dress because you might make him feel bad. He's a she now, okay? Then you just deal with it. Regardless of what your eyes says or what science or biology says, you will accept this as a norm. And it wouldn't be necessarily that bad that, you know, okay, this to each his own, I accept you as you being you, but, you know, don't expect me to change what I've been taught or raised to believe in. You know, don't force it on me. Do what you do in your own thing. You know, just don't try to drag the children into the mess. You know, just do that. It's your life. But the way that they put it out there in your face where you have to conform, if you speak out against anything, and then they're going to delete you from the internet. What happened to the so-called freedom of speech? The same freedom of speech that allows them to put F.U. Trump on the doggone t-shirt and wear it in public is the same freedom of speech that they want to tell the person who has the Make America Great Again hat on that he's a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, and, you know, politically incorrect and a hateful person and all that kind of stuff. It's okay for you to wear the F.U. portion, but I can't wear the, you know, Make America Great portion. There's something wrong with that. Then there ain't no freedom of speech if somebody's speech is allowed to be censored. If they're telling you have to shut up, if you say this anything contrary to this particular belief, then there's an issue. You see what I'm saying?
I certainly do.
Yeah. So I don't like to hear certain things, but I can't say you can't say what you want to say.
We are a country that allows that. Okay, you can say things about your government. You could stand out there on the steps of the White House, Congress, or whatever, and you can hold up a sign that whatever you want to say about the government, that's your freedom of speech. There are people who are speaking, you know, at places that are being banned and censored because of their perceptions of things now. And so things are shifting in this country, but, you know, pretty much we had that right. It may not be any longer. We had that right of free speech, but this is where they're moving us toward.
Yep.
Incrementally toward, you know, that you will no longer be able to, you know, I mean, look at what's going on in China where those people are being, you know, monitored. Even when they're sleeping, going to the bathroom or eat, I don't know, they're monitored, their whole life is monitored, and if they say something or write something or whatever against their government, they basically lose points, so that you can't buy food or you can't ride on a bus or you can't travel. So that's what China is happening in China, across the board, you know, the surveillance, of everyone and what you're saying, what you're thinking, probably even what you're thinking, and so that's where we're heading.
Yep.
So be very careful, folks. Those alarm bells need to go off incrementally, continuously, with everything that they're throwing at us and what they're doing about our free speech. Now, yes, sometimes I don't want to hear somebody talking really nasty stuff about another person's race, color, or choice of religion, whatever. I don't want to hear that. Well, I just won't hear it then.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has a right to speak their mind, their peace, and so on. That's this country.
Well,
if you want to stop
nature.
That, if you don't like it, don't listen. But if you are fighting to stop these people's free speech, it's going to come back to you. It's going to happen to you, and you're playing the game right along with the plan.
Yep, and it basically it's forced propaganda whenever you can only hear one side, and to that extent where somebody's going to be talking all kinds of hateful, racist stuff, you know, you let them speak their own truth, and they'll show you exactly who they are. You know, would you want this particular individual on your team if he's thinking like that? No, because he's a foul-mouthed heathen. Why would I want him over here? We're trying to be nice to everybody. You see?
Well, what do you think about the removal of this statue, of that statue, of this writing, of that writing, of this whatever's, you know, I don't know, the manger on the front lawn or whatever, or a flag over here or a statue over there. And, you know, I mean, all these things are about censorship,
yeah,
about erasing the history. So, listen, the history isn't so good. Our history, this country's history, is not so nice, is not so good. But they're rewriting it so the next coming generations will not know anything about what had been going on, yep, what really went on, and the truth of things.
That's it. They won't know, and that's the whole thing. You know, right now, like my particular generation and your generation, we're getting up there in our years, and you know, there might come a time when we're not here to speak the words of wisdom that we speak. And if nobody takes up that baton, so to speak, in this relay race of information, well, then nobody down the line gets the message. Nobody knows that they ever had a choice. You don't have a choice anymore. You don't have a constitution. Those folks that sit there and say the United States Constitution is an outdated document haven't lived without that document. They haven't lived under
the
oppression.
Well, that's part of the propaganda, and that's part of the push and the propaganda to erase this, our constitution. But, you know, then I'm thinking about the young people in college and how there was a study, again, another study done, I don't know how much money they got for this, but that showed that a majority or a percentage of young people in college these days believe or turning towards socialism/communism, because that's really what it is. I mean, Karl Marx himself said that socialism eventually shifts into communism.
Yeah.
And this is going on in our universities.
You can't have forced fairness. It just doesn't work. Forced fairness never works. Because whoever's in charge, I have to be healthy. You've got to feed me. You got to take care of my medical needs. Because if I die, then nobody's here to enforce the law. Really? Well, your law stinks. Because you're taking everything that you've got to, you're supposedly putting around to giving fairness to everybody. You're taking it via violence and gunpoint and loot laws and regulations and all that. That don't seem to be fairness. You know, the scales of justice are so tipped in the favor of the little tiny faction of all the global elitists that actually rule the world, it blows my doors off.
And well, what happened to by the people for the people? I don't know. Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be self-governed. You know, they talk about, you know, other types of lack of governments that, you know, the people are supposed to be self-government. They're supposed to be your representatives. They're supposedly there to work for you, not to work to fill their pockets. But every single time a senator or a congressman or a parliament member or any of these so-called elitists of the world go there, they get bribes, they get perks, they eat the best meals, and they have security. I might add security with guns. In case you, the average Joe...
And fences and walls around their properties.
Yeah! Cameras and everything to make sure that their family's secure because they love everybody inside the fence. They want to take care of those people.
They have security agents.
That's it.
Following them everywhere, making sure they are secure.
So we
secure from the people.
We need a hypocrisy pill. That's what we really need. Something.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah. Something to cure hypocrisy, because you have $100 million. A guy like me says, if I had $100 million, what would I do with $100 million? How could I fix the world with $100 million? Well, first off, $100 million does a whole lot of research, and I'm talking about actual hands-on building prototypes, proof of concept based on actual science, not the craziness you hear as far as the global warming freaks of the world don't even understand the simplicity of CO2. At 10,000 feet, that's the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen. I want you to think about that for a second. 10,000 feet. If you're on top of Mount Everest, what do they tell you? The air is really thin up there. Why? Because this thing called gravity takes oxygen and brings it back down towards the ground. So whenever the leaves release the oxygen of the tree that's 50 feet above your head, thankfully that oxygen is falling down towards you so that you have oxygen. Otherwise, it'd be floating off into space and sucked off into the vacuum of space. All right, so let's analyze this for a second. Some critical thinking, common sense science. They say that CO2 is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom. All right? Think about that. Two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom. So two oxygen atoms weighs more on a subatomic scale than one oxygen atom, and it has an anchor of carbon on it as well. Now, if at 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen, because after 10,000 feet you need supplemental oxygen so you can breathe, because its oxygen is thin up there, because gravity's pulling it towards the Earth. How is it that magically something that is quite substantially heavier than oxygen is making it up into the atmosphere where oxygen cannot go? Think about it. And that's the simplicity of it. That is real, actual science. But yet we're told that this stuff is getting trapped into the atmosphere and it's blocking out the sunlight, or it's trapping in the sunlight. The bad radiation is getting trapped in. It's causing the planet to heat up and the ice caps are melting and the polar bears are drowning. Polar bears can swim for miles and they're insulated like you wouldn't believe. I wished I had a coat like a doggone polar bear. I wouldn't be freezing my cojones off here in this so-called global warming of 1 foot of snow that is in the last day taking down many, many, many of my trees. Alright, that's global warming. / climate change, / climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. But take it back to the simplicity. If oxygen, one oxygen, is smaller than two oxygens connected to one carbon, how in the heck is it getting trapped in our atmosphere if you can't go on top of Mount Everest and breathe a good fresh oxygen? It's thin up there. People move real slow up there because they don't have the normal amount of oxygen to breathe. At 30,000 feet, you have to pressurize the cabin and you have to push in oxygen. And you have to have a CO2 scrubber so that you're not suffocating from the exhalation of everybody else's breath. So that's science. That's real science in a nutshell. But they steal from the public, they lie to the public, they panic the public, they tell the public that you're going to die of thirst because there's only so much fresh water, there's only so much fresh oxygen. Global warming is causing tsunamis, plagues, famines, pestilence, and some dude named Maurice to have a gold tooth with a diamond in it. Of course, that last one didn't make any sense, but none of the other above or below made any sense either, because it's all a fairy tale. And it's ridiculousness. And we're only on number 4.
Oh my. Okay.
So, the thing I'm trying to get at, $100 million, what could I do with $100 million? I could hire 100 or more individuals that had talents and skills, and we would all work together and we would build things like here's the thing. If you got a house and it has a humidity problem and you'll start getting mold and mildew built up and you need to take that humidity out of there, you go get what's called a dehumidifier. They put them in basements in order so that your basement don't get moldy and mildewed. Alright, well, what that does is it pulls oxygen and hydrogen out of the air, pulls moisture out of the air and condenses it, and now you got this little tray full of water that you have to go in every so often and empty out, because otherwise it'll spill over onto the floor and be counterproductive to pulling the moisture out of the air. A dehumidifier is technology capable of pulling water right out of the hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen that is already surrounding you 24/7. You're living in a giant pool of water. The earth is three quarters covered in it. And so you can take a dehumidifier, take that technology, modify it into a what they call a food grade dehumidifier, and you can pull water right out of the air anywhere on the planet. Anywhere. Because if there is no oxygen in the desert, you wouldn't be able to breathe. You would not be able to breathe. If there's oxygen in the desert, there's also hydrogen and nitrogen and all the other gases that make up the atmosphere, because what? The wind blows all day long everywhere. You got sand blowing in your face and it's obnoxious. So as that wind is coming in, it's bringing you fresh hydrogen and oxygen that when you use the dehumidifier will pull water right out of the air. That's a novel concept, ain't it? That deserves I got a laptop.
I've got a laptop.
Woo!
I make music with my friends.
Music with my friend.
He's got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
All right. So we got that one solved. I'm positive of that. All right. So you know. I don't know. I don't think we're on. Honestly, I don't think we're going to make it all the way to the whole 15 there, Barbara.
It doesn't look like it, because we just getting sidetracked.
Yeah, but it's like one ridiculousness leads to the next ridiculousness, and we've been sitting here saying forever and a day we've got solutions to all these problems, yet what do we get? We get Nancy Pelosi coming up there saying it's racist if you want to put a wall up. Wait a second. You got a wall. Are you a racist? Alright, well, take that $100 million and fix something in the world. Here's an idea. Take that $100 million and go down there and help them to repair their communities. Take good ideas and good people with them. Help them, show them how to make a good government that makes things right. See, Nancy Pelosi is like one of these ladies out there that is, you know, a rich lady. She's got a lot of money. She can get people to give her money for the Democratic Party. So why not the Democratic Party, who has all the good ideas, take all these good ideas and go down there to these third world nations and help them straighten up their government? Help them make their environment clean. Help them make their neighborhood safe. And when you go down there and you lead by example, you actually make this country safe so that the people don't want to leave there and actually come here. Well, then wouldn't that make the world a better place? I mean, I'm just asking. Because if you've got all these great ideas that you're forcing upon people, no matter what the cost, the ends justify the means. Doesn't matter how we get there as long as we get there, right? Take all these ideas that you've got. Go down there and make these people a better world to live in. And they wouldn't want to try to flee their home countries. But when you get there, when you get down to places like Iraq and Afghanistan where they have wars going on, or down there in Guatemala or in different places down there, when you get down there, and you realize that down there you don't necessarily have a Second Amendment, so you're not going to be able to do it the good old-fashioned way where you go in and clean house and sort things out and use violence to fight violence like it's been done for centuries. You know, you don't agree with the way that people are oppressing the people, you have an uprising. What do? You go over there and politely say, well, you know, we don't like you anymore, so you go on down the road and we're going to be the new government. No, it don't happen like that, because the government already has a military. The government already has a contingency plan, continuity of government. The government is going to kick your butt. You're not going there with pitchforks. You don't take a knife to a gunfight. And so, Nancy and all you Chuck Schumers and all you politically correct people, when you go down there and help these folks fix out You're going to have to be really good negotiators, because the guys and gals with guns, they like the power just like you do. And you get down there, you get it all sorted out, and now everything's a hunky-dory world and everything works fine. Well, the American people already realize that this has happened time and time again in other nations, and so the American people kind of like to have that backup plan in case the government turns into tyranny, that we can rise up against said government and sort it out. We don't want to sort it out. We've seen what happens when things get sorted out. There will be no winner of a second civil war here in the United States. It will not happen. It will be a terrible, terrible, terrible loss for humanity. And so the best thing that we could do is try to preserve this picture we got right here, this supposed melting pot of the world, this supposed world of dreams, and try to sort it out and start leading by example instead of going over attacking other nations because we don't like what they're saying or doing. Then maybe we should try to lead our lives by example so that we show the rest of the world that we're not the great Satan that they think we are. That we are over here, we're not killing our people. We're not trying to fill our children's veins and lungs with drugs and alcohol and their minds full of trash. When we start doing that, when we start having a little bit of moral high ground to stand on, when we start taking care of one another, and we start feeding and housing and putting clothes on people's backs, and the rest of the world sees that, yeah, they'll want to come here even more. But they'll also know that if maybe they tried that in their town, that they wouldn't have to move. They could keep their heritage. They could keep their countries, their nations. And they could be proud that they say, well, we looked at those folks over there and they were doing it right. And so we took after that. We did it too.
Well, I think that used to be kind of like what it was. You know, America, the greatest country in the world. I mean, we were fed that, but it appeared to look that way. It appeared to look that way on the outside to many. And that's why they wanted to come here, of course, you know. But there's a lot of hidden stuff in this country that people don't really realize.
If they knew the truth, they might not want to come, Barbara.
They might not want to come because we got to clean up this mess here. I guess we've become the world police, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, under the umbrella of the Democrats, democracy, we need to go over there because those people are doing it wrong, and we got to straighten people out. So war is a good thing. You know, war creates peace, which is kind of a conundrum, and we're being fed that. You know, these days, you know, hate is love, and evil is good, and war is peace, and but, you know, we have something going on right now in our face, and people seem to be overjoyed about this, and I question this because it's about, again, political correctness or incorrectness, and it's about what's happening in our interior, in the government, because, yes, somebody posted this, and I'm actually glad they did because I was thinking of this, too. And here's the post. We now have two Muslims voted into Congress. Did you know that?
No, but if they start trying to, because they actually said it one time, they said one day that the flag of Islam will be flying over the White House.
Yeah, so here, I'm going to continue. So now we have two Muslims voted into Congress, and they wear the hijabs. They cannot put their hand on our Bible and swear to uphold our Constitution due to their faith. And this person goes on, the post says, we are being destroyed within our own country. The Trojan horse has made it into our government. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm a prejudiced person or a hateful person because I am not. But there's something going on here that the majority of people don't even really know. They don't get this piece because, yes, we're welcoming people. We're a nation of immigrants. We love people, we welcome people, we want to help people, and all that's really good. But there's something hidden that's going on that people aren't aware of, you know. And we talk about the agenda, you know, the elite's agenda, the one world government, one world religion. And now we have two Muslims that will not put their hand on the Bible and swear to uphold our Constitution due to their faith. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, I feel, and we have various other, you know, persons, you know, really running our country that we don't even know about, that is happening. That's been going on. So where are we going with this? We have these people, other people of other minds and so on, or other agendas, infiltrating into our education systems on the boards of towns and villages and cities, and there's something happening here. Now, there's
Let me ask you a question before you get too far. Let me ask you one really important question that I would like people to think, to contemplate on. Do you actually know what that hijab is?
Well,
the thing they wear on their head. Do you know what its purpose is?
Well, I mean, I have my own perceptions. Of course, I'm not in studying their faith or religion about what that is. But my own perception is about how women are completely covered with a hijab, and their you only see their eyes, and that's it. To me, it's basically in regards to supposedly keeping women safe. That's what their idea is.
Yeah, because if their hair, if men look upon their hair and their beauty, they might be sexually aroused and, you know, cause problems like, you know.
But it would be the woman's fault.
Yeah,
it's not the male's fault that they become sexually aroused, because men become sexually aroused, you know, in any other circumstances, not necessarily seeing hair, a woman's ankle, or whatever. I mean, this is an issue here, but yeah, to cover up the women, and they are beaten or even stoned to death if they expose their hair, their ankle, their whatever, or do anything, you know, natural or normal.
My next part of that same exact question was that, you know, American women, there's a lot of them out there that they call feminists that, you know, are in for all kinds of women's rights and all that, which I'm for all women's rights. I want women to be treated equally straight across the board. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when you are sitting there talking about how you don't want people being oppressed, and you see something that is basically oppressing women, you know, if this woman can't wander through this world without being covered up because she might cause a problem, don't you see the hypocrisy in that?
That's she is the problem, yeah. You see. That's everything turns around to point to the female, the feminine, the sacred feminine, as being the problem, period. That's it.
That's it.
Now you have this, somebody posted something else I was talking about the other night. It's a woman, young woman, very attractive young woman sitting on this bench, and she has her dresses up to her, way above her thighs. Her dress is open at the top, and she's exposing her breasts that are quite very large. They're probably silicone filled and blah blah. She's got her hair up and her hand is on her head, and she's got these stiletto heels on that I would kill myself basically if I wore them. And you can't run very fast, and maybe that's a reason why. You can't move in these stiletto heels. Barely move, barely walk. You certainly can't run. And that reminds me of the women in China whose feet were bound for that very reason. Supposedly it was to stimulate men because it looked like a flower, blah, blah, when their feet are all twisted up and broken. Their toes are broken and their feet are bound.
Ah.
But the women couldn't run away. That's the other thing. Other meaning of it. But so this woman sitting there on this bench, the little caption was that this woman, you know, that she's not defined by people, things, and so on, and looks, right? She's defined by her love and her beauty and her sacredness and blah, blah, blah. But she's dressed like this. So there was a lot of, you know, feedback. People were saying this and that and so on. And I wrote, I'm confused. I'm confused about what this picture is presenting, because the topic was that she's not defined by her looks or things or people. But in fact, what the picture was showing, that she is defining herself by her dress, her stiletto heels, her exposing her breasts, and it has nothing to do with her sacredness or her, you know, passion, love, and goodness, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was very confusing to me to post this picture, to see this young woman like that. I think there's a lot of confusion in women's mind about what defines them, because they're basically being fed to look like that. Expose your breasts, get them, you know, silicone filled up.
Yeah, society told her that's what she had to look like. She had to look like Barbie, you know? And so what's that do to all the rest of the doggone people that don't look like Barbie? Make them feel inferior? So not only are you basically exploiting this woman by trying to tell her this is what she has to look like in order to get a good man, if that man is any worth at all, he'll see the woman as she is, not because she's all dressed up like some sort of Ferrari or trophy or something like that. It blows my doors off how society has actually portrayed that this is what you have to look like. You have to wear this particular brand of shoes. You got to wear this type of clothes. You got to show cleavage if you want a good man. You know, if that's the only thing the man sees, then that woman's being cheated as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Well, this is the confusion about how women are portraying themselves and what they think. Well, I'm a free person. I can dress how I want.
Well, sure you can. It's your choice. But then, you know, like you've got all these people trying to come out and say that would justify some other person's actions, which I don't agree with either. You're responsible for your own actions no matter how somebody's dressed. But on both sides of the fence, whether it's the lady that's scantily dressed as opposed to the lady that's got the scarf on her head, both of those women, in my view, are being oppressed. Both of them are. They're being cheated out of their true glory, their true nature. I believe all women have that natural beauty that they were born, a gift from God. And so, to me, all women are sacred. You know, and for people to be exploiting them in any either or directions, cover it up because you might attract a man in a bad way, or don't cover it up because you want to be completely free and whatever, you know. What about letting this woman just be who she is and, you know, let whatever, nature do what nature does? You know,
What about the sense of the sacred of yourself?
Yeah.
And the freedom that you have starts there. That's the freedom. The freedom that you have to know that you are a sacred being, a sacred woman, a sacred man, sacred child of Creator. It's not that you have to expose yourself and get your breasts enhanced or your butt enhanced or whatever. That's nothing to do with your sacred self. That's not expressing your sacredness. You're a whole person, human being, sacred to begin with. But now you have all this push to enhance yourself, to wear skimpy clothes, to prance around in stiletto heels. And I'm just saying, this is not, to me, defining or claiming yourself as a sacred being. This is defining yourself for the public's eye.
Well, you realize that's not even gender neutral, right? Because the same thing applies to men. If you're not a muscle-bound, bulky dude, then, you know, you're not going to get all the pretty ladies and the good job and all that kind of stuff. So the little scrawny guy and the little scrawny girl, you know, they're like left out of that equation. And I thought this was all about social justice, where everybody was treated equally and fairly. You know, it's crazy that we even have to talk about stuff like this. But that's part of the issue of the world. If people feel like they're left out and they go out and protest, or they feel like somebody else is being left out, and you got people out there that are self-haters now. People that hate themselves because they're white, because of something that the ancestors had done that was terrible, terrible atrocities. But you got people, they hate themselves for the color of their skin. They want to try to virtue signal everybody and his brother. See, I'm not like that. Look, here's my black friend. Well, you just insulted your black friend and turned your black friend into a trophy. I got a black friend. I got a black girlfriend. I got a black
boyfriend. Well, the way people say, I'm not prejudiced. I have a lot of black friends.
Yeah, and it's sad
that
you even have to. Yeah, it's sad that you even have to point that out. I got a friend. That's all I need to say. I don't need to be politically correct and say my African American friend is a wonderful person and I love him so very much. I just say this is my wonderful friend.
well, again, it's the politically correct issue that we're dealing with, that people are very confused about how to define themselves, you know, and they're being fed how to define themselves. They're being fed what is politically correct or incorrect, you know.
I tell you how you can get people to define themselves. Allow them the freedom of speech to show their true colors. They will show you exactly who they are with the words that come out of their mouth and by the actions that they do. You know, there's a deal that says he who lives in glass house should not throw stones. And there's a lot of people that live in glass houses, like Nancy Pelosi got a $100 million net worth and trying to tell everybody else that you got to you take your money and give it to somebody else so that everybody's fair and equal. Well, I don't see her bank account or net worth going down any. She's not going out there and saying, look, I can only help 100 million of you out. All I have is $100 million. Here's a dollar each, and I will give you that $100 million to do
whatever you want. Well, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of people today throwing stones. So
yeah,
that's what. Enough with the throwing of the stones. We're almost done with our talk today, eh?
Yeah, a positive.
We had alarms and we made a lot of money today. You and I coming up with solutions and identifying issues that people should be alarmed about, and so on.
Yep. You
know. So I think for me, you know, I always come to this place of, I know we were joking a lot today, having a good time, a lot of fun, which is good to do. We need to laugh and get silly and stupid sometimes, I think. But we also touched on some important, you know, really important issues to kind of address these things that we really are inundated with and also being affected by, and the silliness and stupidity of these people that, you know, that come up with these types of solutions, like that woman on that video.
Yeah.
You know, and telling us a lot of interesting things, like the organ harvesting and, you know, various stuff like that, and the water scarcity of water scaring the crap out of people, and you know, we have solutions. I mean, we have real solutions. We have good solutions.
Yeah.
You know, not to get money from people. That's not what we're about. You know, I mean, you're not about that.
Nope.
You know, you have plenty of solutions, and I have solutions. And when we're on and we're talking, you know, it's very important for me to say that in the world today, we do have a lot of problems and a lot of trouble, and it looks very alarming on many levels. And I think the agenda and the plan is basically to alarm people. As I said, you know, they create a problem for us, and then everyone reacts, and then they step in with the solution. But the solution is their solution, which only deepens the problem and basically captures people and chains people to the authorities. Because what I'm talking about is the authoritarian system that we are under and have been under, that we are not sovereign, that we are not using our own critical thinking, that we are not, you know, separate and sovereign from this authoritarian system we've been put under. Everything that we are ruled by is this system, the authorities. Who claims to be the authority, basically, or tells you that they have this type of, you know, plan or solution to save everybody, save the world? You know, I feel like nobody's going to come and save the world, that we're all here to participate in bringing a balance, harmony and balance back to this system that has been so out of balance, so disrupted and corrupted deliberately to cause where we are today. You know, they're feeding us a lot of poisons through the air, through the water, through the food. And so this tells us that we have to take some kind of responsibility ourselves and not rely on this system, the corporate system. The corporate government, the military mind that we are under. And so I think it's time that we feed this stuff, we joke about it, but for people to awaken and step away from this system and start taking responsibility for ourselves, our families, our communities, coming together and stop relying on these authorities who stand in front of us, who make a lot of money, who we put in positions, vote for them. which is no different than any side. It's the same side. Same side of the coin. Republican, Democrat, they're all really the same. They make a lot of money. And has anything changed in our world in the last 50, 60, whatever, 70 years that has bettered life for the whole here?
No.
You know, I don't see it. I don't think so. So we've given over our power to these authorities, believing in them.
Let me read something out for you. The price of one stealth bomber is what I Googled. Alright? The U.S. Air Force... bought 21 B-2 stealth bombers from Northrop Grumman in the 1980s and the 1990s at a price of more than $2 billion apiece. If you count development cost, they're at $2 billion apiece.
Where does that money come from? It comes from us.
Mm-hmm. Think about that, folks. You got a crazy guy here and a wonderful lady talking on a radio show, and I put down in there the title for today's show was $100 million to fix the world. How many $100 million are there in one $2 billion stealth bomber? Think about it. That's quite a lot of money.
It just brings to my awareness how this insane system has been set up. Okay, it's the war machine. We're living under the war machine, and that was set up on purpose because they need war. Those people who want the money, who are holding their hands out and scarfing up all this money, how are they going to make money through war? Okay, and we're the ones that are paying them. Okay. Through their war machine. Mm-hmm. We're caught in this mess.
Yeah.
But that was set up deliberately, you know, and telling us the lies that this is a threat and there's terrorism coming our way and so-and-so is a threat or those people are a threat. And so they keep the fear mongering going and people are in fear and they don't think of any solutions themselves because they're dumbed down. They don't have critical thinking. And this is where we are today. So we're just saying... You know, we're joking about stuff, but this is real where we are. But I have great faith in humanity of the waking up, and I do see people waking up, and I do see people standing up. And one thing that I feel very strongly about, and I'm always pushing this and always saying, because this feels right to me, feels so true and right to me, and it is about we all realize, basically... We all come to realize that we are all one big family here of many colors, and the Creator loved color, as you can just look out the window and go outside and see the myriad of colors and the whole system, you know, how it functions and relates to each other. So we must come to terms with this reality that we're no different. Everyone wants peace for your family. Everyone wants good food, healthy, you know, clean water. We are all the same. But they have pitted us against each other, really, and they have made us, created this helpless attitude or hopeless attitude, you know. And we are not helpless, and it is not hopeless, you know. It's coming together and talking and sharing and coming up with solutions, and there are many, many solutions. And stepping away from that authoritarian mind control that yep. basically makes us feel like we're going, you know, we're all going down and that's the end, you know.
The United States Air Force dropped a 21,600-pound massive ordnance air blast, otherwise known as MOAB, Mother of All Bombs, on what is said to were ISIS militants in Afghanistan on Thursday. At least 36 people were killed in the explosion from the largest American non-nuclear bomb. Hold on.
Well, that's a while back now.
Yeah, well, I'm just bringing this
that's up. That's a while reason. Back, but that created a big hoo-ha. But the thing that got me was the term mother.
Yeah, yeah, but listen to this. This bomb that they wonder, that one bomb that they dropped, the MOAB bomb, dropped on Afghanistan actually cost $170,000. So $170,000 for one drop killed 36 people and untold amount of damage as far as, you know, like if you had insurance companies involved in buildings and structures and cars and all this kind of stuff in there. One bomb.
But that's just this country.
Yeah,
that's just the United States. You have other. I mean, Israel just stated that they just dropped some bombs over there on whatever's on Syria again, or Iran. I don't know which. It doesn't matter. All these countries, all these rulers, the kings, queens, the monarchies, they're doing this stuff, and everybody's playing the soldier, stepping in and stepping up to it. To basically play their game foolishly and to be ruled and controlled by the monarchies. We're still under the monarchies, but in my estimation.
But here's where the hypocrisy comes into play. When I mentioned about Nancy Pelosi, okay, look, I don't care whether she's liberal, Democrat, or Republican or anything. I'm not talking about labels. I'm talking about hypocrisy. This lady's standing up in front of a lot of people, and she's telling these lot of people what we need to do to fix the world. All right? She's talking about where, you know, it's immoral to build walls and such, and all this kind of stuff. She is part of the machine that is making it possible for people to drop $170,000 bombs per drop. That's per drop. If they drop more than one of them, it adds up quickly. That's not even counting the fuel cost of the bomber to get there. That's not even counting the pay of the pilot, his benefits from whenever he finally retires, his pension and all that kind of stuff. That's not even counting all the pay for all the people that was involved with making sure that this thing is flight ready and ready to go. Doesn't even scratch the surface of all the politicians who pushed the buttons and had the power to say, yeah, they're getting paid. Everybody's getting paid through this entire process. The military-industrial complex isn't just the guy dropping the bomb. It's not even just the bomb itself. It's all these representations, people like Nancy Pelosi, who's up there telling you what we got to do to be more moral, well, who we have to accept as our leadership, when not a single one of them, not a single one of them have done anything in the history of all this time that they've been in the government. $100 million. How many $170,000 are in $100 million? All right. And if I say to the world, if I say $100 million to fix the world, what would you do with $100 million? You find you a dream team of people you could trust, like, let's say, maybe the Klan mother system. Get all these mothers together who don't want the war, they don't want the death and destruction, but they're responsible with their resources and they're caring about their people and they want to do the best thing that they can for their people. So you take 100 million of you out of the 9 billion people on the planet. You send the Klan mothers a dollar apiece. I'll take a dollar out of my pocket right now. I'll send $100. I'll send $1,000. All right? I'll help you get this thing started. You send them a dollar apiece. And then you send your best and your brightest to those people to tell these women what they're going to do with the portion that they want to use. As far as I want to build a water treatment system that we can send around to all these third world countries. Here's my plans. Here's the science to back it up. Here's what all the peer review of all my people that we believe, we honestly believe, we know this will work if you just trust us long enough to build one prototype to show the world. And if it's right on their heart, if it rings true to their spirit, they will give the funds to that individual to ensure that this gets done. And then you have your other portion of the dream team who's literally going to follow those people and ensure that every single penny goes into that exact same deal. When they come back and present this water treatment deal before the Klan mothers, now there is an actual irrefutable device that can make sure that nobody has to pay a dollar for a bottle of water. Nobody has to be rationed on fresh water. And that there's more than enough fresh water to go around for every single living soul on this planet. Nobody has to drink disgusting water and die of suffering from parasites. But $100 million would not just do that project. $100 million would build the perfect generator system. $100 million would build the perfect device for every single problem that you can think about. And it would show people how to grow food. It would do it in such an incredibly efficient manner that once these things were known to the average Joe, why are we doing all this stuff over here when they just showed us we can get fresh water just like that? Folks, if you want to open the markets to the people, if you want to open the jobs to the people, if you want to uplift the people, there's only one group of individuals that has the power to do so. And that is we, the people. Each and every one of you can scrape up a dollar from the man. Go out and carry out somebody's trash. Here's a dollar. Go out there and recycle the trash that's already on the ground. Take it to the recycling place. There's a dollar. You got a bag of aluminum cans. There's $10. There's $20. Hand that over to those trusted clan mothers that everybody respects because they're always true to their word. They're true to their heart. They're true to their nature. They love the people. They love our world. And they
That's why they're called clan mothers, because that is basically a given. It's not questionable at all. The original clan mothers, you know. I mean, today I have to say, and I'm not speaking about clan mothers in this instance, but today, unfortunately, you know, we're supposed to be in a prophecy of the return of the sacred feminine / masculine, which means harmony and balance between the male and the female of our getting together here and standing in unity for the good of the whole. Especially for the good of the children and the coming generations, you see. That's the original clan mother system, where the men and the women respected each other and stood side by side for the coming generations. Everything that was done, basically, was led by these clan mothers who were filled with the wisdom and had that knowledge and were put in those positions by all the people, you know. And the clan mother system, basically, you know, this is where we're looking at, is to return to the ways of the people, the original people, where there was that harmony and balance and unity, the reciprocity between the male and the female, working together for the good of the whole. Today, unfortunately, you have, and that's due to, again, the agenda. We have to look at the agenda that has put us in the position where we are today, where women are acting more like patriarchy themselves, you know, and stepping on their sisters, you know, to get to the top, and stepping on everybody to get to the top. It doesn't matter, because it's all about greed and money and, you know, and realizing these things that we're told we must realize in order to be successful or famous or happy or peaceful, you know, within ourselves. But you won't find peace. You won't find peace within yourself with the money that you have in your bank account or your pocket or your mansions or your big cars or your... You know, I just read this little blurb in the paper about a school in Long Island has asked, the people of the school have asked the parents of their children to stop letting their kids wear these $350 hats. They're called beanies by some company. $350 beanie, just a little beanie. Because when the kids lose those beanies, they go berserk and they cannot focus on their schoolwork.
That's crazy.
But you're talking $350 for a little knitted cap, cool, because it has a label on it with some famous company, I don't know. That's crazy.
Yep.
But I'm just saying... Captain Vexstar, I'm looking at the chat here. Thank you for being here, and everybody else we have here visiting us today, listening to us on People for People, and everybody else who's listening out there. It's good to see everybody, what's going on. And, so I was, like, kind of shocked at that, but I suppose I shouldn't be shocked at that. But what I'm saying is people are actually participating in the downfall of our world. They're participating. What you would spend $350 for some knitted cap for your child that they get so crazy when it gets lost that the school has to say, don't send your child into our school with one of those beanies because your kids can't focus when they lose their beanie.
Let me blow your doors off for a second. I was in Chinhae, Korea, And I was buying at the time, because that's where they actually make Nikes and Pumas and Adidas. I was buying Nikes, Pumas, and Adidas for $5 a pair while they were selling for $100 back in the States. Think about that.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, and people, young people have actually beat up another kid, or you know, some people have shot other people for those sneakers or for whatevers.
Yep.
You know?
I need to step out for a minute.
I'm just saying, this is the participation of people, of our fellow citizens.
Did you see my message in Skype?
What?
Did you see my message in Skype?
I did. Go. I thought you had already gone. I'm talking my head off and you're here.
You caught me with the beanie.
Okay. Well, we're going on a little after our time here.
No, actually, we got an hour left.
Oh, wait, we got an hour left. Well, Barry wanted to step in.
Well, throw him in the mix.
Huh?
Throw him in.
Yeah, okay,
drag him in.
If, well, anybody else want to come on our round table here? Because you're all welcome to step in. I have to look for Barry now. Where are you, Barry? There? No, I don't know if I even have you. Barry, show up somewhere. And, where are you? Hello? Barry, pop in something in the Skype chat. Maybe I can find you there. Not the chat on the People for People. I don't know how to do this, because I'm... Oh, add people to the call. Oh, where are you? Are you here? You know, I might not have you here. Oh, there you are. Let me see if this works. Barry, are you there? Hello? I'm looking at my clock, and we have an hour to go yet. I feel like I've been here for 3 hours. It's ringing, Barry. Ringy dingy, one ringy dingy. There you are. I did it. I feel so grown up. Are you there?
Hello.
I hear you trying to find your way. Hi, Barry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Put my headphones on here. Hang on for a second.
Okay. How you doing out there in that country up there in that... way over there across the border, where everything's calm and everything's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, calm and beautiful. Yeah, you haven't been in Canada lately, have you?
I have not been in
Canada. No, you better come up here and have a look what's going on in this country.
I don't know if I want to go there.
No, as bad as Trump is, I'd take him over Trudeau any day. Trudeau's pretty blatant about what he's doing.
I'm looking at some of that stuff with that wackadoodle up there. Holy moly.
Tell you, Barbara, if people in this country aren't awake now, then they truly are brain dead. And if they're not standing up right now against this government, then I say shame on you. Because it's so blatantly obvious what this Trudeau government is doing in Canada. He's absolutely destroying this country. And people are starting to wake up. This convoy that's formed in Canada, we got 4,100 trucks now committed to leave Calgary on the 14th of February, heading to Ottawa. And that number is going up every day.
Do what?
We are going to surround the Capitol.
Oh,
and we are going to. This is the biggest. You're going to see the biggest mass demonstration against the Canadian government you've ever seen in Canadian history. The group is formed in Alberta. Like I said, we have 4,100 semis now committed to the trek across the country. We have a couple corporate sponsors that have are committed to diesel for the trucks. Husky agreed to 8 tanker trucks full of diesel to assist this convoy to get to Ottawa. We have a fundraiser going on right now for fuel for the truckers. It's at $170,000 now. We have an emergency fund set up for the truckers, and that's around $50,000 for breakdowns and et cetera, et cetera. We have truckers from the United States calling and wanting to join the convoy.
Cool.
Wow, so...
Because this isn't about oil or gas. It's about the total destruction of our society that we see now coming in at light speed. So, it's pretty cool what's going on. Just one of the things that I've been... I got to share one really cool thought with you guys this morning. You know, I've been talking about industrial hemp for years. Well, this week I had a meeting with the chief of one of the bands up here and his environmental minister. We went to the Just Biofiber website, And they looked at it for a couple days, and Monday they're going to have a meeting, but they have 18 houses in their budget this year to be constructed on the reserve. And you know what? I think they're going to be done in half because they're looking at this one, Barry. This is a no-brainer. I'm not plugging my shows usually, but I am interviewing the president, CEO of JustBioFiber.com this afternoon on my radio show.
Good. What time?
He's on at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Alberta time. I don't know what time that is across the ocean, probably 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock. I think it's 7 hours difference. But the president of Just BioFiber is going to join me for an hour today, and we're going to have a conversation about how fast this company is growing, why he got involved. He's right on the same page as me as far as the benefits of growing industrial hemp when that comes widespread in our society.
Well, give the name of your show.
It's called The Big Puzzle, and I'm on People's Internet Radio this afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And I really like people to tune in and listen to what Terry Radford has to say today. Really, really cool guy. I've had three probably one-hour conversations with the guy, Barbara and Shaziz. And you know why he got involved? This is he's just resonating everything that I'm thinking because he knows the benefits of industrial hemp when it's grown on land, what it can do to our farmers, what it can do to our society. And that's why he got involved in this company. They spent $20 million bringing these products to the market, and now it's exploding. So, this afternoon, I am going to have a good chat with Terry Radford at 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Cool. That sounds like you got your dream team on your side of the world working well. See, that's what you can accomplish whenever
you're
there.
There you go. I mean, that's incredible, really.
That's awesome.
Well, you know what, folks? We all talk about things that can impact our society, right? And we know about these things. And really, you just got to get out and start sharing that information with people. Because when you do, it's like light bulbs going off in their brain. When I started sharing this information about industrial hemp to this chief of the band out here, he had never really heard about it. And he
what
started
reservation
looking at
it. Is that up there?
Kitsikalan Reserve, just out of Terrace here.
Cool.
Okay. And their environmental minister's name is, believe it or not, James Bond.
That's really funny.
It is. I think his parents were thinking, must have been listening to the boy named Sue, like Johnny Cash, when they named their son. And I went, what's their name? He says, James. And I go, okay. Well, I didn't see. No. Anyways, this gentleman is really, Barb, he's seeing what's happening to the environment, and he is really concerned. And here we put something in front of his eyes that can actually make a real impact on society. And not only that, if this ban goes ahead and does this, it's not for sure, but it's looking like they're going to do this. If this happens in this reservation, then every other reservation around Terrace,
it'll,
going, hey,
it'll
what
fly,
you,
yeah.
What are you guys doing over there? And then, you know, they're all related, they're all connected, and of course the word will get out very, very quickly, and the other people in these other reservations hopefully will start looking at it. This company wants me to go like a sales rep for them, Barb, because I think the road I'm going here in the very near future is, I found something that I'm very, very passionate about, and I want it to be
able
to
the public. You know, those people can grow that stuff, you know.
I know they can.
They can. I mean, there's here in the States, there's a couple of reservations where they have been growing the hemp for years. The only problem is, now they're growing hemp for industrial use, but the only problem is here is that the feds come in every once in a while when they know it's time to, you know, to harvest the crops, and they come in and they destroy... They destroy the crops, and they don't have a right to do that because the people on the res, they have their sovereign right to grow this hemp.
Yeah, I would be taking that one to a court of law because industrial hemp.
Oh, they've been.
You'd have to smoke 1,700 joints of industrial hemp in an hour to get a buzz. So if you can do that, fill your boots.
Well, there's the difference between people's you know, people realizing and understanding what is industrial hemp compared to marijuana, you know.
Well, so it's the same strain, just a different strain of the same plant. It's just that industrial has very, very, very little THC. 0.07%.
Yeah, but the point is that it's a push that they're all the same. That's why
they demonize the whole name. Marijuana is demonized in our society.
But
people are getting that stigma now.
But when the government says they're here to help, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Good for you.
If the government ever says that they're here to help, then you know there's something going wrong.
Yep.
And people got to know by now that anything the government touches turns to poop.
Yep.
Period.
Well, that's why I suggest that, you know, I'm naming today's show, which is quite a long title, but it's all right. We can deal with it. It says $100 million to fix the world. And if you take a listen to how much money is just wasted in the war machine alone, not to mention whenever they get on TV and they argue all these things about different laws that they want to pass, and they're back and forth arguing. Just think about all the advertisements that's going on. Just think about all the airtime that's getting paid for. Just think about the senator and congressman themselves that are getting actual payment from the government for their time even being there. Not to mention the perks of getting all kinds of free money from lobbyists and special interest groups, and being able to do massive fundraisers and be a speaker that gets paid like $500,000 per speech that you give and such. So they're living like celebrities out there. $100 million could take 100 different people of different talents and skill sets and produce things that are provable technology, like the hempcrete that you're talking about.
Hemp can save the world, you see, but yeah. But it would change the system. They don't want the system changed.
But
the
we
ones
do.
In control, they don't want it fixed.
But
there's
going to
come a time here real soon we're going to make
coming.
Them.
It's coming.
We the people
it's called
want
educating
change.
The public.
We the people want the system changed. We the people have the power if we ever decide to use it. You know, there's people out there that said to protest with your dollars. You know, don't buy from this company. Buy from that company. They're better for some reason or not. Protest with your dollars. What's, you know, it's monopoly money. You're all playing with monopoly money anyway. But if you're going to have to use the system, then why not take that dollar and put it towards something that you know for a fact you can trust these individuals to do what they say? That's the thing. You can't trust the representation that you send to Congress and the Senate because it's a cesspool. You take I got this saying, and I know it might sound slightly rude, but you can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. You just can't do it. It's not possible. But if you take all the people out there, if there are supposedly 9 billion people on the planet, most of which are pretty frustrated because the governments haven't been able to accomplish stuff.
Well, get up my bed, Milo. Get up my bed.
They have,
Go on, get up.
Is that your dog?
Oh, I'm.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. I thought I was muted, guys. Sorry. Tell my dog to get out of the way here. Trying to get on the show.
I want to say that the voice of the people is powerful.
Yeah.
And it's been shown and seen across the board that when the people stand up and voice their opinions and their protest against certain things, that eventually something does shift. And it brings to my mind this famous designer of clothes who used a lot of furs, animal furs and whatever, and he finally decided that he will no longer buy farmed animal furs for his designs, his clothes. You know, I mean, things like that are happening, but the people have to voice their opinion.
Yep. Well, what I'm trying to get across to, see, there's all kinds of corporations out there, but there is no corporation who represents the people, the actual people, you know. If I had a corporation such as the People's Corporation, and everybody who's a member of this corporation, they only put in $1. That's it. No, but never again will you ever put in another dollar. You just put in $1. And what you expect out of that corporation was we go out and we find the best of the best talented, and we solve problems one at a time. We already got the solutions to solve the so-called water problem of the world. We ain't got enough fresh water is what they say. All right, that's a big hockahooey, the history of hockahooeys. And we can do this in such a fast manner, in such an incredibly respectful to nature manner, that it would blow your doors off. And then there wouldn't be no problem with people having to not be able to drink fresh water. It could be solved. But it ain't going to get solved by asking a corporation to do it, because corporations want to make money. That's their bottom line. The bottom line is the system. And as long as they're making money, then they will take an idea. They'll take an idea, they'll run it, they'll shelve it, they'll do whatever. They'll even suppress it if necessary in order so that they can stay in business. That's what corporations do. And since now the United States is quite literally a corporation, if you check out, they're in the District of Columbia. They're not in the United States. What's the District of Columbia, you say? Well, do some research and you'll figure it out. When you do find out, you might be a little bit upset to understand that the Federal Reserve isn't even a federal building. It's a private industry, private banking industry. And they have a lot of sway in the government because they have the money to back them, and you are paying interest on monopoly money. But that's a whole other show in itself. What I'm saying to you is, if you, the people, are sick and tired of all this stuff, gather your dream teams. Find a group of people in your community that you trust with everything that you got, and support them. And get those people, send those people your best. Send them your garage scientist, your welder, your mathematician, your chemist. Send them the best of your best, and resolve problems in every single community out there.
Well, we have that happening. I'm glad to say that, because right now there's another protest going on up there somewhere in Canada. I think, Barry, you probably know it, about the another pipeline up there, right? Where people are gathering from all over. They're coming just like they did at Standing Rock. People are coming from...
RCMP arrested a bunch of them this week.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the same thing they did at Standing Rock. They have the military police up there arresting and attacking the people who are peacefully protesting for their lands and their waters against these pipelines, you know?
Yeah.
And people are gathering...
The RCMP have to be called out in this country right now, because they're basically an extension of the government.
Right.
And they're doing exactly what the government... They've been corrupted at the highest levels. You know, it's funny, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that I play hockey three times a week, and there's a RCMP officer that comes out and plays against me all the time. He's actually a really nice guy, and I've gotten into conversations with him. And, you know, honestly, he told me, he says, every member of my detachment, without an exception to the rule, is absolutely disgusted with what they see going on in the upper levels of the RCMP. Right out of a cop's mouth, guys.
Yeah.
He's aware of the corruption, but he's in a catch-22. You know, I kind of had a little bit of a heart-to-heart with him, and I said, you know, one of these days you're going to have to make a choice between what's right and what you're doing. And
there's where we all are.
Do you know what happens?
You know what, Barbara? I left him with that thought, okay?
Do you know what happens when you take the whole purpose for governments and companies and all these different corruption, when you take the reason for them being there away from them, they don't want to do it anymore. You think that the people are going to go out there and be corrupt for free? No, they're there to make some money. They're there to get their piece of the pie. They think the whole system's corrupt anyway, so why not? Why not just go out there and make your money and then move off in the background and then, you know, live your life happily ever after in your mansion? Never mind where you got the money. The blood diamonds don't make a difference once you got your money. You don't have to support it anymore. You could buy from companies you know aren't being corrupt or abusing people. So, you know, the ends justify the means in some people's mind. That's how you get good cops to do bad things. That's how you get good government officials to do bad things, because it's that lure of money. But if you, the people, guide your money, if you funnel your money into the people, that's when you'll get results. You're not going to get them via the structure the way it is, because it has become so incredibly corrupt. And violence doesn't do it. Violence just feeds the beast. It feeds the machine, because now you got to hire more cops to quell the violence. Now you got to produce more laws to deal with the lawbreakers. You got to do all these things, because all the things that we worry about, if you take the money out of the drug dealer's pocket, guess what? Why would you try to go, bring dope into a country that ain't buying? Seriously. If it's not profitable, the criminals won't be doing it. That's it. So, legalizing dope, is that going to solve the issue? Well, maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll hit them in the wallet. Because it's hard to sell a widget if everyone already owns a widget. So if average Joe can grow some weed in his backyard without going to jail, you're not going to be able to sell it on the black market. Everybody's got weed. My neighbor gave me a bag of it the other day. Not really, but you see what I'm saying? So, I don't need no weed.
Go ahead. If it was a choice between alcohol and cannabis in our society, I think I know what I'd be choosing. Yeah. But I know how many people alcohol kills every year, and I know what the effects of cannabis are on people. And if we had to choose the worst of two evils, cannabis, of course, would be my choice.
Well,
all I want to do after consuming is eat a piece and hug my kids.
How many hippies are signing up to go to war? They're not.
Exactly. You know, they just legalized cannabis in Canada, buddy, and I'll tell you, Shaziz and Barb, if you haven't looked at the new laws that have been brought into Canada under this so-called legalization, they're absolutely barbaric. They've given police unbelievable, far-reaching powers. You could be home for 2 hours after you drove, and you can get a knock on your door now from an RCMP officer, and all he has to say to you is, somebody reported you driving erratically. You can get home, be home for 2 hours and drink six beers. Say you got home, had a six pack, you're going to watch the hockey game. Well, you're drinking your six pack of beer, you get a knock on the door. And it's an RCMP officer demanding a blood test or a breathalyzer off you, not a blood test, a breathalyzer off you, because somebody 2 hours earlier reported you driving erratically. It can just be a hearsay report.
Well, that's no another report.
But they can walk in your house now and arrest you if you don't provide them with a breathalyzer 2 hours after you've been driving. Think about that for a second.
That's another thing.
Think about that.
That is another thing. See, here's the problem. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves social justice warriors and that they want to abolish all firearms and stuff like that. And so, you know, you don't like guns, but you have no problem calling the man with guns on your neighbors to try to get them to comply to something that you want done. They're making too much noise. They're playing the radio too loud. I'm calling the police. The police show up. Guess what? They got guns. If things go awry, if the person doesn't appreciate the police showing up because they were playing their guitar too loud, things might get out of hand. Somebody's going to jail. You just tampered with somebody else's freedom because you was frustrated. So as long as you're going to call the law on each other, as long as you're going to go out there and smash the windows of the communities that you live in because you're angry at the man, you're just helping the man. You're helping the man get more power, because the more laws on the books means the less freedom that you have. And the more court cases there are, so the judges are getting paid, the attorneys are getting paid, the state's getting paid, the whole entire governmental system's getting paid, the corporations are getting paid, the news media's getting paid, because every time there's a high court case, guess what? The news media's talking about it. Because it's drama. Look, such and such went to jail. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Guess what? It's a domino effect. And it starts from the bottom and works its way up. They only have the power because you give them the power. You give them the power over you every single day by complying, by basically being complicit. And when they pass a law that you disagree with, well, it's their job to pass a law. We put them up there. And this law could be unconstitutional. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you, because we'll have to get somebody in there to unpass the law. Alright? Well, you're playing their game. And as long as you're playing their game, as long as you're supporting the corporations and the military-industrial complex, it's alright to have a military. But the military was supposed to be for one purpose. Protection. Not for worldwide police. Not for going around and mopping some other nation into the Stone Age. Don't be a hypocrite and sit there and say that you want to make the world a better place while supporting the same people that's tearing it apart. The companies and corporations out there doing all the craziness, and you're allowing them to do it because you're putting money in their pocket. If you want to beat the system, if you want to beat them at their own game, first you have to know the rules to the game of chess before you can win. So once you learn those rules, you can use their monopoly money against them by taking your monopoly money and funneling it into your community. Not out to the government, not out to the corporations. If you think that you can't manufacture, then you didn't go to work yesterday. You didn't go to the factory and build nothing. You could take that knowledge and you could use it for the good of all mankind and start building things to show your neighbors this is possible. This really is possible. There is a such thing as free energy. It really does work. There is a such thing as a machine that makes fresh water. Most of you probably got one in your house already. It's called a dehumidifier. Study up how it works. It pulls moisture out of your air. So, if the technology is already in your hands, but yet you're paying for a bottle of water, then who's to blame? Is it the companies to blame because they mislabeled it and said, yeah, this came from Canada. This is a freshwater stream in Canada. Really good water. Which it came out of probably New York City subway water fountain.
Yeah, you know? And just put it through a reverse osmosis system and call it spring water.
There you go. Now, if they can do that and make billions of dollars off of you because you're already afraid to drink the water that comes down the pipe, you know, you can't drink the water that's on the land. There might be parasites in it. There might be bad bacteria. Or maybe you could take that land and you could clean that land up and you could let nature do what nature does best. Understand, you can filter water with duckweed, for Pete's sake. It'll clean that water right up. All right? And then you can turn around, use that duckweed for fertilizer, natural fertilizer, not that chemicals that they like to pump into the ground. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. You know what? There's going to be, we've said this before, Shaziz, and I believe there is going to be wars fought over water because it's an essential in life, and our ground source water all over the world is being contaminated by design.
But if there are wars, if there are wars fought over water,
it's all been set up to cause a war.
Yeah, but it's going to be because the people chose to allow it. It's as simple as that. We the people hold the ultimate burden because we the people are the ones that have to pull the trigger in that war. We the people are the ones who allow our vehicles to leak out all over into the environment without trying to find some sort of solution. We the people are the ones who throw the plastic on the ground that the wind then in turn blows into the creek that floods down the river and finally makes it out to the sea. We the people are the ones who have the capability to take that piece of plastic a little bit of time out of our deal and put it somewhere proper and ensure that it's disposed of properly. And we're buying more from them. We are buying more to destroy our environment from the same people that we're trying to blame for doing the damage. They're only buying it. They're only selling it because you're buying it. That's it.
Yep. Well, then we open up the stomach of a humpback whale on the coast of Vancouver Island and find 1,000 pounds of plastic in the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
Does that not tell you something, folks? 1,000 pounds was found in the belly of a humpback that washed up on the coast just out of Port Alberni about 6 months ago. Shocking that much plastic's in the belly of a whale. Why? Why are they eating plastic? Well, it tells you that their food source is dwindling, and that's a fact.
Well, they're not eating plastic on purpose. While they're eating, they're opening their mouths, and this stuff
and
is flowing in, right?
Yeah. That's part of the equation too, Barbara. But to find that much in the stomach of a whale,
it's not just that whale. It's birds, it's whales, it's dolphins, it's turtles, it's seagulls. It's like, it's a mess.
It is.
But
people just don't seem to. Our ocean. If we really start looking at some of the numbers right now. And it doesn't take long to really start doing some serious investigation into it. You must be shocked at what you see in oxygen or plankton depletion in the ocean. That has to absolutely shock you, because if it doesn't,
you think that people would realize the implication.
But
you think they'd be shocked. You think they'd give a care.
But there is a solution.
Our ocean's in trouble.
There is always a solution. There is a solution to every single bit of this. And the only reason why it doesn't bother the average Joe is because it's not in their nifty little circle, their backyard. It's not piled up in their backyard. It's not a problem to them directly. Now, in their heart and in their mind, even though they're wealthy as all get out, then, you know, hey, you know, I feel bad for the poor. I feel bad for the dolphins. I feel bad for the whales. But if you've got $100 million net worth like Nancy Pelosi and you're being the hypocrite standing up there telling the poor people that it's their job to fix it by voting this particular way or telling their congressman to do this or go out and protest, get in the face of other people, you're not resolving anything. You're just putting more money into Nancy Pelosi's wallet. That's it. How do we get the people to stop feeding the same beast that's eating them alive, that's complaining about? If they understand what Barbara's been saying forever and a day, they have a lot of power. You as an individual have more power than you think you do. And you got to know that. You got to believe that. Just your words alone. Try it out. Go out there and talk bad to people all day and see what kind of response you get. There's a lot of power. You just manipulated their life. You made them angry, and now they might come and attack you. Who knows? Or if you go out there and do just the opposite and say wonderful things to everybody you meet, you might find out that spreads like the plague. That's the positive pebble in the pond. That's all you needed to get your community to work together. In the meantime, if you're arguing over things that are wrong with this world and you're not doing nothing to make it right, then you are part of the problem. You're feeding the same beast. You keep going to the same companies and buying things because it's cheap. There's nowhere else to buy but Walmart. Walmart sells things cheaper than everybody else. That's because you ran your mom and pop business out of business by not supporting them instead of supporting Walmart. If you don't like Walmart's deals, find your little mom and pop business and support them. Help make them wealthy. You see?
It doesn't matter that mom and pop had to shut down their local business because they couldn't run it anymore. Now they're working at Walmart, both of them at $15 an hour, $12 an hour.
Yeah.
Just to make ends meet. That's okay. Don't
the
worry about
store
that.
The store owner is now a door greeter, for Pete's sake.
Yep.
The man who took care of his community and put a tab out so that this one lady who couldn't afford it, she only got paid once a month, but he would let her get things on credit and then be able to come in at the end of the month and pay a payment on her bill. There were people like that. There were stores like that. There were people who would reach into their pocket when they seen that you were in need, and they would help you out just by the promise that one day you'd come back and do the same for them or somebody else.
Well, of course, because we were a community.
Yeah.
We're not a community anymore. That's been taken out of society incrementally. And that's a subject we could talk about for an hour, how it's been taken away, how are they breaking down communities,
yep.
What are the divisions they're using, multiple divisions to keep us separated, to break us down. I mean, that could be a conversation for hours,
yep.
But the fact is that we as people now don't interact, the community has been taken out of our society.
That's it.
And
that's
if you look at communities now as opposed to what they were, like you said, 100 years ago, where people actually worked with their neighbors in the community, if they were having trouble, everybody got together and helped that person out. That doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
It's been programmed out of us.
There are few people. There are still a lot of people that will go out of their way to help others, but it's getting slimmer and slimmer.
Well, everything, I'm listening to what you're saying, and, you know, what I find, it sounds like we're frustrated. It sounds like we're, you know, fed up and frustrated with this mad cycle, and that people don't see it as a mad cycle. We see it as a mad cycle, and we see it as basically, you know, the mind control process that we've been under for so many generations is part of this, and we have to realize that. People think according to what the program tells them, and aspire to do what the program tells them to do, to become and to aspire for and to gain and to do whatever. I mean, this is the programming that everyone is under, which creates this mad cycle, you know, that we see happening, that we get frustrated about, and wanting people to, you know, to wake up and to get this so we can stop this mad cycle of destructions that we're all participating in unknowingly or carelessly or, you know, not even realizing or identifying the fact that serious things are happening here. So it's like this, we have to realize who we're talking to. The system has done a really excellent job And to say to people, why don't they see this? Why don't they get this? Why don't... Okay, because it's not easy when you're brainwashed and your generations have been brainwashed before you. But brainwashing is a serious thing.
Yeah, it is.
So you have to realize that who we're speaking to are brothers and sisters out there who have been under this, you know, system, this systematic brainwashing, and also who have been... taken down, and all the opportunities are not available. And then this is the agenda the system has put people in the place to be so hungry and so scared and so lost and fearful, and also hungry to feed their people, to aspire to something, to get money, or to become something. So this is the madness that we're dealing with. So how do we talk to people from that perspective? You know, we just can't keep yelling at people and saying, you know, why don't they get this? They're frustrated. We're frustrated. And why don't people see this? Why don't they see that? Why don't they see that? Well, the question is, yes, why don't they? This is where I think we have to focus on. I mean, these people they're not evil people.
No,
they're participating in the system that has brainwashed them to act and participate in the particular manner. So I'm just saying, to help people identify where they're stuck, why they're stuck, or what the feeling is inside of them that basically is uncomfortable or, you know, lacking something, you know. Because people don't know when they're brainwashed, right? I mean, people have no clue.
Well, and the scary thing is, it's only going to get worse because the more technology, you know, I don't need no AI to tell me that humanity is making a lot of terrible mistakes. It's going to cause us problems down the line. Common sense will tell you that if you pay attention. I mean, you can only trash your environment so much before, you know, the water ain't fit to drink. But what I'm trying to get to the cross to people is that they're putting their faith in the wrong people. They're putting these people in office and expecting that they're going to change. It's that insanity thing, you know, doing the same thing 100 times and expecting a different result. It's just crazy. It's mind blowing. But we have honest solutions. We have real science. We have our access to technology that's unbelievable right now. But come the day whenever you stop thinking for yourself. Like, for example, I did this to myself years ago. I used to be fairly decent at math, but I didn't like math. Math didn't interest me. But then I heard about this really nifty invention called the calculator. And I said, well, why should I study all this math whenever I got a calculator that'll do it for me? And my brain become lazy. So to this very day, I'm terrible at math. I don't like math. But the mathematician who does like math, who excels at it, is something that is basically the equivalent of that calculator. If you can get them to calculate things up, and you got that person who can, mechanically engineer something, and you got the person who can take that drawing and then turn it into an actual working deal, that is the people. That is the talent. That is all these pieces of the puzzle coming together to get things solved. And you do it on your terms. You do it on the people's terms. The corporations aren't the ones getting wealthy. The people are the ones getting wealthy. The people are actually making their communities better by resolving problems. You know, we can sit around forever and say, you know, that stinky old pond out back really makes me sick. I don't like smelling that stinky old pond. Or we can go together and we can help that by introducing things that belonged in the pond to begin with and take the things that don't belong in there out. We can fix it. But it requires something that a lot of people just don't have the drive to do anymore. And that's as simple as get up and do something. Get off the couch.
Well, I think they don't have the drive. I'm going to keep saying this because they're dumbed down. Their critical thinking is out the window.
Yeah.
And they're basically, they don't have the impetus. They don't have the passion because they've been brainwashed. So my thing is to talk to a person heart to heart about, okay, so what is it that's missing in your life? Of course, I know what's missing in their life. I have a clue, I'm going to say, is that internal peace. that internal happiness and joy, which is rightfully ours, is rightfully everyone's, every human being. But what, so they might say, well, what's missing from my life? Let me see. Well, I need another $5,000 or $6,000 to get this toy. That's where they're going to focus on. So they don't even understand what I'm saying when I say, what is missing in your life? What is missing within you, you see? Because they can't connect with that. Because they're outside in their minds and in their focus about what I need materially that will give me happiness.
Exactly. That's how their brain is conditioned.
Right?
That's how their brain is conditioned.
Exactly.
You gotta have this, you gotta have that. You're conditioned like that since you were a child. Gotta keep up with the Joneses. That old saying. Go ahead, Barbara. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. Because I was gonna say, so in their world, in their mind, okay, the capacity they have is limited to even hear what we're saying about this problem, that issue, this circumstance that we need to look at and help or support or change or come together and work together. They don't even have a clue or connectedness to what your words are saying.
Yep, because, I get that.
Right?
Yep.
So I think it's like, again, it's like saying to someone, you know, what is missing in your life that will give you happiness and peace? And these people are just going to jump on the money thing, or they're going to jump on whatever material piece it is that they've been told is important. They've been brainwashed to believe will give them happiness and inner peace, you know. And this is the issue that we're dealing with on that level. Now, let's talk about the collective awareness or collective consciousness, because when you, and we've talked about this many times, but when you raise your frequency, when you, and we've talked about this before, because Barry and I do this, we'll go into the store or wherever we are and we'll smile at people. And at first I found, well, some people, like, they look stunned. Like,
yeah.
Their reaction is like, what is it, you know? Because you're making a human heartfelt contact with them, and that's like, you know, new, a new concept, a new experience. It's a new sensation. It's a new feeling. It's a sensory experience for them. And then oftentimes the person will smile back at you, you know, but my purpose is to break through the barrier, the wall around these people that are so stuck somewhere in their minds and in their own, you know, that kind of space where they are disconnected from heart, spirit connectedness to another human being or communication. Or the mother, or life itself, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So when you focus on, when we focus on that frequency of love and compassion, because I have to talk about the frequency. I do, because this is the key piece. In all my 76 years, I have come to realize that most people have overlooked or missed or not even thought about this piece, and it's the frequencies. Because we are beings of energy. Everything in creation has a frequency and energy. Nature has its natural frequency of harmony and balance, because I'll just say trees don't have ego. And trees don't have, you know, basically a hunger for a car or a lot of money. This is the human condition. So I'm talking about this peace frequency because it is, I found in my experience, personal experience, and all the journey of my life and the information that I've received from Creator, Great Spirit, that we are beings of frequency and we have more power through that frequency than we can ever imagine.
Well, we got the capabilities to save those people as well and help them along. Folks, we're getting down to the wire there.
Yeah, I see. But it is about this piece, and of course it's the frequency of love and compassion.
Yep.
That it's a simple thing, but people are so far removed from this wisdom, and it is ancient wisdom, okay? So either we are feeding the frequency of love and compassion and joy, or we are feeding the frequency of despair and lack and terror and fear and doubt and all that. It's two choices that we have as a human being to utilize this most extraordinary wisdom and gifts that we were all given.
Well, you know,
so that's where I take this at the end of our story here, of the end of our sharing with each other today, because we have to do this work. Now, we can't get frustrated at people, because that's not a good frequency. We can't get angry or annoyed or throw that stuff out, because that's not a good frequency. So, say you are the pebble in the pond, I am the pebble in the pond. What is the ripple effect that you want to send out to the whole world, our brothers and sisters, who are really lost? Therefore, but the grace of God, go I.
Well, you know that there are people in this world that can quite literally sing like an angel. They can take that voice and they can either make somebody sad with a story or they can uplift somebody's spirit. And so part of the dream team might be that choir that you're standing around. It might be that group of ladies or guys and gals that can sing like an angel, you know. With everything that's ever done, if you're going to go out and raise a barn for your neighbor, you got somebody who's going to be cooking some food. You got somebody who's going to be hauling some tools. You got somebody who's going to be using those tools. You got somebody who's over there singing and playing the guitar of some happy music that's actually making the work tolerable. You know, you ever heard that one saying? I know probably Disney is responsible, the whistle while you work kind of thing. I can't tell you how many times I stand in the factory, and because the factory was so doggone monotonous because it's repetitive work over and over again, that I started singing a song to get my rhythm, and I felt good about the whole deal.
Ancient cultures, the people worked together in the fields and worked together to build homes, and they all sang.
Yeah.
They had the songs they sang together, you know. So we are one. We're working together. The frequency of that song.
And if you sing a good message, you leave a good vibe for everybody. A good frequency range for everybody. You make people feel good.
So the frequency I'm putting out now is that it is not hopeless. We are not helpless. It is an extraordinary time that we are here. It is an awesome time that we are here. And we all signed up to come here at this time to participate. And this is extraordinary. And let's participate in a good, loving, caring way for all of our brothers and sisters and the Mother Earth, especially all of life. And that's the frequency I'm sending out, this an incredible hope and faith and joy I have and love for all humanity, no matter who and no matter what's going on, and the Mother Earth especially. So I'm sending out that wave of frequency to all of you in gratitude today and the joy I feel for life. That's my frequency. That's my word.
I want
to
take
go stand in the forest and listen to what the forest is saying to you right now.
Yeah.
It's saying
listen
to you.
What the earth is saying to you right now.
Because she's saying, yes.
She's hurting.
The song of the mother, the song of the mother, the tears of the mother, the sorrow of the mother.
Why are you doing this
connected
to me? Yeah, why are you doing this to me, folks? I have given you everything you need to have an abundant, vibrant life on this planet on your time here, and you're destroying me. Why can't we wake up to the most important things in our life? It's people are in the matrix, Barbara, and unfortunately it's a sad thing to say, but I honestly believe a lot of people aren't going to wake up until it's actually really impacting their life. But you know, and I know, anybody that's listening to us talk today knows when it gets to that point it's going to be too late to do anything about it. So unfortunately the matrix is so strong in people's lives. They are so conditioned, so controlled, that they don't realize it. And everything they've ever been told is a lie. And you tell them that, and they'll slap you in the face.
Yep. Well, I want to take.
Well, and so let us say that the matrix is breaking down. I see that the matrix is breaking down. I see that it is powerful, but not as powerful as the breaking down frequency of love and compassion and change and shift for the good of all. I'm sending out that frequency. I'm changing that other frequency that says it's powerful. People are caught and stuck. I see both sides, but I want to emphasize the one that is the highest divine frequency.
Yep. Well, folks, we got to get up out of here. Another wonderful show. There is. I just posted a link to a picture. Click on that link and look at that picture. It talks about this picture says it all. You see, it has a bunch of people standing around, and there's a bunch of puzzle pieces on the floor, and it says, you are the missing piece. I want to take my piece of the puzzle, all my talents, and I want to help make this world better. But I need each of you to help me help us all. You know, that's what this Knights of the Round Table is all about. I honestly believe in the dream. I honestly believe that we can fix this, but we have to choose to do it. And we have to do it in a respectful manner. Like Barbara said, we can't go around beating people over the head with a club and tell them, you've got to comply, you got to do this or else. That's not how you get things done. Peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. It never came from a sword. Matter of fact, there's a saying that says, if you live by the sword, you should die by the sword. I don't want to die by a sword. Sounds miserable to me. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. Which one of you two wonderful souls want to go first?
Ladies before gentlemen.
Well, I just said my piece. Okay. I just add that I'm so grateful. Every day I go out, and even at night I go out and I thank Creator Great Spirit for this life, for my life and the life all around me and the beauty all around me. And I say prayers for all of you people out there, for all of the brothers and sisters of all nations, for protection, for health, for well-being, and harmony and balance and peace between all of us. That's what I say every day. That's my frequency I send out. I hold that frequency. I'm holding that frequency of love for every one of you. And thank you all for tuning in here, being with us today. Love you all. Philamayam, Doksha.
Wonderful. What about you, Barry?
Love you, Bart. You know what, Barbara said earlier in the show that cannabis can cure the world. And if we ever wanted to embrace something right now, in this particular time in history, that could actually make monumental changes to the future of this planet, it is the cannabis plant. It's the one gift from God that we all must embrace and demand it come back into our society widespread. Maybe we can give this earth a chance, but right now, the way we're going, folks, we are not giving our next generation anything that we got to enjoy on this planet. And really, our legacy is what it is. And if we can look in the mirror and say that's okay, then I don't know what to say to you. Me, I look at what's coming, and I'm getting involved, just getting involved in this one thing that I'm getting involved right now is uplifting people. It's showing them things that they've never seen before, and it puts hopes and it puts power back into people's hands. And that's what this really is all about, is putting the power back into your hands and taking away from the beast that's running over us. And embrace the cannabis plant. Take a look at it. Start talking about it. It's just one thing, but it could really impact all our lives. That's all I got to say about that. Always great talking with you guys. Barbara, I love you. Shiliz, I love you. Thanks for having me in.
Love you, too. And, you know, on that cannabis thing, you can make oil out of cannabis. And they were talking about if you could design a natural plastic that you could use for a deal, cannabis could be one of those. It's a petroleum.
They're making plastic out of cannabis now. It's on the market. It's biodegradable. Breaks down in 6 months. Becomes part of the earth.
See?
We need to embrace these things.
There you go.
And demand the changes.
Well, the person that they said that, see, and we only got through four because by the time four, things got so ridiculous. You know, but there are problems in this world. We have the solutions to them. All we got to do is come together and enact those solutions. And if we want a better world, then it's up to us to make it so. It's as simple as that. That's what the Knights of the Round
Table. That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
When I was a little boy, I swore that I would change the world. When I grew up, nothing else would be enough. I see it every day. We set off for a save and lose ourselves along the way. But if you don't see, what's the use in dreaming if you don't have faith?
is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great
old
one.
Woman!
Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
When that's the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When that's the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There he is. He's got a laptop.
Says the table. Always looking to says the table and the Knights of the Round Table.